Kingdom of Nye. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again is Art.
Good morning. You're really in for quite a ride this night. My guest is Lori Toy. Lori Toy is a very special person who has seen what the future holds, much like Gordon Michael Scallion, with a map much like Gordon Michael Scallion's. And two people who visualize a future that we will tell you about in a moment, as well as a lot about Lori. The Sanyo 917 digital spread spectrum cordless phone has no peer in the telephone world. And I mean no peer. It's simply the best there is. Now, not everybody needs or can afford the best, and I understand that. This telephone is $179.95. Why? Why would a phone be so much? Well, number one, it has 10 times more power than any regular cordless phone, period. The Sea Crane Company has recorded a distance between the portable phone and the base, a max so far of 5.8 miles. You might try and beat that. Now, obviously, terrain and your altitude above average terrain is going to bear on all of this. But no matter what the case may be, this phone is heads and shoulders above anything else anywhere out there, period. So, if you want the best, and the audio, of course, is superb, it beats any corded phone I've ever heard, this is what you want. And by the way, if you want complete hands-off operation, ask about the modified 917. They've got a headset with a microphone. It's really cool. If you're on the phone a lot, in fact, it's the holy grail of phones. But if you just want the best phone in the world, call Bob Crane between 9 and 1 o'clock on Saturday. That would be tomorrow, our time zone, or 7:30 a.m. Monday morning. The number is 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. The Sea Crane Company. In a moment, Lori Toy. Are you having arthritis pain? Would you like to stop that pain in your joints now? Glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate can help with the Arthritis Assist formula. You can get them at a fraction of what you pay in stores. Plus, the Arthritis Assist formula contains another revolutionary nutrient that's helped many people in Europe, gelatin. Gelatin's full of the same kind of protein found in cartilage, the stuff that cushions your joints so they don't hurt. As we age, most of us get arthritis and our cartilage begins getting brittle. Studies show that gelatin nutritionally supports cartilage regeneration. Gelatin, along with glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, are found in the Arthritis Assist formula. Stop those aches and pains without drugs by using all-natural Arthritis Assist. Here's the offer. Order a 90-day supply of Arthritis Assist and you'll get a pain relief cream that provides immediate relief to your joints absolutely free. Call 1-800-232-5665. It's guaranteed to work or your money back, and you can't get it in stores. Call now, 1-800-232-5665. You've got nothing to lose but the pain. Well, all right, here comes Lori Toy. Lori, are you there?
Yes, hi, Art.
Hi, Lori. Could you give the audience sort of the 101 bio sketch on who you are and how all this happened?
Well, this all started for me in 1983. I began having a reoccurring dream, and in that dream, four beings in white robes presented a map, and the map showed that there would be Earth changes. It showed United States. It was very different from the United States we have now, and I was quite taken with the dream. I remember I called a friend at the time, and I said, boy, this is pretty frightening news. And she said, well, don't worry about this, Lori, because it's also prophecy that after these types of changes happen on the Earth, that we're going to enter into a new time. And that is what is known as the Golden Age. Mm-hmm. And I kind of put everything on a back burner At the time, I was a farm wife and the mother of three really young children.
Right.
And I wasn't really ready to become a prophet with a sandwich board, you know, walking the street saying the end is near.
Yep.
And so 5 years later, my life had drastically changed. And I've been taking a meditation class. And I had noticed that in meditation, that these same beings in white robes would come and talk to me.
Uh-huh.
And I shared this with a friend, and they were very surprised, because I always had thought that most people, when they were in meditation, that they have this type of thing, and found out that they indeed did not. And this friend was very, very interested also in this map that I had told him about from prior years. And he says, well, Laura, you know, you're so good with meditation. Why don't you try to go back into meditation and let's get the details of that map?
So at that point, you had only the bare outline of the map?
Well, it was very interesting, Art, because what evolved out of that were 80 sessions total. And not only did we get the outline of the map...
No, I don't mean later. I meant at that early point, before you began doing
that,
the sessions.
At that early point.
What had you done? I mean, I know when I have a dream, when I wake up in the morning...
Uh-huh.
For a very short time, we remember the dream, and then when you've had about one cup of coffee, about half of it has gone away, and you've forgotten it, and you're struggling to remember it. So is this the kind of thing where you woke up one day after having this dream, or consecutively after having it, and sort of did a map really quickly while you recalled it?
It was very much consecutively. It was a reoccurring dream. I had it about three times. And... it was very interesting because I guess this is a way I could explain it. It was like an infusion.
What was the map of? Just of the
United
U.S.?
States.
Of the U.S.?
Of the United States.
These beings that presented this to you in the dream, in what manner did they present it? Did they communicate to you? Did they say something to you? Was it telepathic?
It was telepathic. In the dream, they were unrolling this map. And... the dream was very different than a regular dream. It was more what I've understood to be more like a vision. And it was a very profound dream. It was memorable, to say the least. When I did share this dream with a friend, he had been studying Edgar Cayce's work.
Yes.
And he says, well, you know, I've always had an interest in Edgar Cayce's work, so I would like to see if there's any... you know, comparable information here. And I really approached it at the time as just sort of a fun thing, you know, just something to sort of understand maybe what the dream meant or if there was indeed any comparable information.
So did you add to this map every morning or did you, in other words, when did you draw the outline of the map?
Well, we started out with, the map was sort of an overlaid map. And we had vinyl overlaid on it. And then I would go into this meditative state, and we'd work with felt markers so that we could erase if something was wrong.
Right, sure, I understand.
Yeah, and we worked and we would put down the exact detailed coastline as these beings would say, you know, 60 kilometers here or 75 kilometers here.
Oh, that's quite a bit of detail.
It was extremely detailed, and that was what was so provocative about it at the time, Art. I mean, that's why we were so amazed, was the stunning detail of the map.
Now, when they first presented this map to you, did they tell you anything telepathically or otherwise about what it meant? What, in other words...
in the dream?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, it was just a dream where I saw it. But like, as I said before, it was very much like an infusion. It was like spiritual information was being given to me that would later be retrieved.
What would you say of the source that gave you this information? What today, if I were to ask you who gave you this information, what would your response be?
Well, I had been a student of Ascended Master Teachings. Well, I've been a student for over 20 years now, and I recognize the beings in the white robes to be the Ascended Masters Ascended Master Saint Germain, Sananda, who is Jesus, El Morya, and Katumi.
I have a very good friend named Danyon Brinkley, who I'm sure you know of.
Yes, I know Danyon.
And it is very interesting because he, too, has had encounters with beings that he describes very much like the ones you're describing right now. Yeah, he uses slightly different words, but white-robed beings, masters of some sort, he saw during near-death experience.
Well, I understand that there are elder brothers and sisters, that they're here helping and guiding our evolution. And I feel particularly through the map that it was given with a purpose and an intention to help humanity, you know, in whatever way it possibly could.
But there was no real explanation to go with it about when or that here it is, your future, if you're not careful, or nothing along those lines.
Well, later on, when we were working on the details of the map, there was explicit direction and understanding given as to what, you know, what the prophecy was all about. But in the dream, no. The details and the information came later on.
All right. And we'll get to that. But at some point, I remember from your story previously, you were compelled, felt compelled to get this map out to people.
Yes, very much so.
So much so that you, I think you sold your house, or I can't recall now, you had three children. what did you do?
Well, I listed my home with a realtor, and part of that, Art, I really had a lot of misgivings about even producing the map. I guess I was really afraid, you know, that I'd be labeled or you know,
your children, your husband, when you said family meeting, listen, I've decided or I need to or I want to publish this map, and for that purpose we're going to sell the house, you know, and raise money and produce this map. How were you greeted?
Well, it was really interesting because I listed the house and it sold in less than 24 hours. So I guess that was sort of my response.
Gee whiz, not too many people had a lot of time to think about it.
It was a depressed market, too. So I guess that was my answer there, but I really felt that it was important to share the information. I guess I felt, what if I had been shown all this and given all this information, and this did indeed happen, and I had done nothing? So it was really out of a sense of responsibility that I went ahead with it.
How little were your children at the time?
My youngest was five.
Five.
And she's 14 now.
14 now. Well, okay. Well, so that she wouldn't have had much to say about it at the time or thought too much about it, I'm sure. What about your husband?
I wasn't married at the time.
Okay. So here you are. Oh, my God. You're a single mother? You're a single mother?
I was a single mother.
Three children?
Yes.
Oh, Lori. You must have been driven.
I think my parents thought I'd gone over the deep end at that point in time, but now they're very proud of me, and they're very happy that I did do what I did, and I took the risk, because now they understand.
But that's a lot of years later.
Yes.
At the time, they probably wanted to have you examined.
Well, all things sort of fit together and work together in its own time, and I think now, in fact, I was talking to my mother the other day, and she says, gosh, Lori, she says, it looks like with the type of weather we're getting that, you know, the map is kind of starting to happen. And I said, well, let's just hope it doesn't and keep on putting out maps.
All right. Would you say that your purpose in putting the map out is to scare people into a modification of their behavior?
I would say my purpose in putting it out is so that people have the information so they can make a choice. As I've come to understand with working with prophecy, prophecy is not prediction. Prophecy is a spiritual teaching that is given to us so we can start making the changes now in our own life, so that maybe we can avert these types of catastrophes or lessen them. And maybe that's just through our own perception that these things may happen, but according to the master teachers, this is very, very important that we understand.
All right, let's consider. The map was completed by you through these ascended masters.
Yes.
When? When was the completion date of the map?
1988. The map was produced, was published in 1989.
Okay. So the map was finished in 88. This is 98.
Yes.
Now, there's a full decade between the finishing of the map and today. If we look at that decade, it's a very interesting decade, and we ask ourselves, obviously in 1988 the premise was continue along the present path, and here's what's going to happen. Well, we've got 10 years of that path now behind us. If you look at the last 10 years, would you say that we are moving in a manner that would that would say to you, the map is on the way to becoming true, or, oh boy, we have really spiritually enhanced ourselves, and the map no longer is what's going to happen?
Well, I don't have a comment on if we've spiritually enhanced ourselves or not, but I would say I was very shocked over the flooding of the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers, these touchdown tornadoes now that are happening in the United States are frightening, the weather patterns, El Nino, some of these things are indeed looking a lot like the prophecies. We, of course, haven't seen California sink into the ocean, although they've had some pretty intense flooding. It's very difficult to say, but what I would say, Art, is that I think to some degree, yes, they've started.
Well, I know, and I was going to say that myself if you had not. I mean, if you look at the past 10 years and you look at human behavior, what we have done, what we have not done, I think that arguably things have deteriorated. They have not improved spiritually. We're not treating ourselves better or our neighbor. We have not stopped wars. Though the Cold War is said to be over, we still have lots of nuclear weapons in place pointed at each other. And socially, there has been quite a deterioration. So, to me, Lori, and I know that you don't like being on the negative side of things, but I think we're well on our way to your map.
Well, it does look that way, and that might have been what the spiritual teachers were aiming towards, is they knew this, that there's a possibility of it going this way, and that maybe this could help other people to understand. One thing I do understand is that change always happens inside first, and things deteriorate from the inside out. And boy, we really are seeing a deterioration of our society.
So your map could be many things. It could be a general warning to humanity.
Yes.
It could be a message to those who understand and believe and wish to survive.
Yes.
It could be a lot of things. And I guess I'm sorry to take the negative side of things, but, you know, I wrote a book called The Quickening, which really parallels or talks about what I believe to be coming, and I think it is as clear can be, economically, politically, socially, environmentally, oh boy, you name it, in every single category, we're moving rapidly towards something. I am not a prophet, and so I never said what that something is because, frankly, I don't know.
Well, and many other people, too, are voicing this, Art. I know, you know, just around town here in little old Payson, many people talk about, you know, that they do sense that something's going on.
Yes.
And I think that is what is happening with a lot of people across the United States.
You're in a little town, Payson, Arizona, is it?
Yes, right in the middle of Arizona.
Mm-hmm. How do the people in Payson react to your presence there? You must be quite a interesting character to have in the midst of such a small little town?
Well, we're pretty quiet people, but I would say that they're very interested in what we're doing. Of course, we mail a lot of maps out of here through the post office, so they're always asking us, you know, how things are going. And,
yes.
And in fact, several people from Payson said they would be listening tonight. So I think there is an interest. People are interested in what is happening. Like I said before, I think people feel that something is up, that something's coming.
Gordon Michael Scallion.
Yes.
He has a map. A map of the U.S., a map of the world, a future map of the world. Many people have looked at his map and looked at your map and see great similarities. What comment would you make?
Well, I think that the message there is that I've met a lot of people who have seen the maps. Of course, the America map was first out. But on the other hand, I really feel that this is about, there's a lot of different people getting the same message. And I think it's very important. I don't think this type of message just comes through one person. I don't think it was ever intended to.
Well, I think if it came through only one person, it would be far more suspect. But when you get, and this is in no way any disrespect to you, but I don't know you as well as I know Gordon.
Uh-huh.
And I know Gordon quite well, and I know Gordon is absolutely the real McCoy. I believe you to be as well. That's why I have had you back several times on the program. Hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Lori Toy is my guest. Lori Toy is a prophet, and we will discuss some of what her map looks like when we get back. When you put it together with Gordon's, it really should scare the hell out of you.
In the Kingdom of Nye on the Wild Card Line at area code 702-727-1295. That's area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and I do have a small surprise for you. Actually, I'm quite surprised. As you know, maybe you don't. If you don't, boy, you're really in trouble. As you may know, Mother's Day is this Sunday. Now, I thought last night was the last possibility for any delivery of absolutely fresh flowers, but I'm a little wrong. Apparently, it is possible, ever so barely possible, that you could actually call absolutely fresh flowers right now, and if you want them sent to a major metropolitan area, you know, Chicago, New York, L.A., San Francisco, and probably other cities near that size, it actually can be done. You can get Sunday delivery, but only in major metropolitan areas. So if your mom happens to live in one of those, and you still want to get her flowers, we might be able to accommodate you. But what you've got to do is call the number I'm going to give and give them the zip code to which you wish to send them, and they will tell you if it can be done. Now, if it can be done, it's going to cost more money. But if you're desperate, why, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. I had no idea that FedEx delivered anywhere on Sunday. They certainly don't out here, but in major metropolitan areas. So I guess you can give it a try. I mean, if you've really screwed up and have not done anything for your mom, here's the big chance. Call 1-800-562-6438, and you can still get this monstrous delivery of miniature carnations with a card inside, handwritten, with your message and your name at the bottom for your mom. I mean, call now and see if it can be done. 1-800-562-6438. Good luck. Are you overweight? Would you like to lose an average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? We know that fiber helps sweep fat out of the digestive tract like a broom, reducing the amount of fat your body stores as excess weight. Well, let me tell you about a revolutionary fiber, chitosan. It's a natural fiber that comes from shellfish. It not only sweeps fat, but also absorbs up to 10 times more fat than other fibers. You can get this fiber in a formula called ChitoSlim. ChitoSlim is effective because you can lose weight without changing your eating habits. And there are no stimulants. It's a gentle, effective way to lose excess weight. Here's the special offer. When you order a 90-day supply of ChitoSlim, you'll get an antioxidant moisturizing cream absolutely free. Call 1-800-557-4627. It's guaranteed to work or your money back, and it's not available in stores. So call 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. You've got nothing to lose but the fat. Well, all right. I want to say something to my audience at this point. I am a skeptic, as you know, about things that are channeled. I don't like, I just don't like channeling. I don't know why, I don't trust it. And even when it comes to prophecy, I am somewhat skeptical. I was introduced to Lori Toy's map by a neighbor of mine here in Pahrump. That's how I found out about it. The I Am America map. And he had one of the first versions of it. And he brought it to me, and he said, you know, Art, I'm kind of skeptical about these kind of things, but I think this lady is really on to something. And he brought the map over and laid it out for me. This gentleman is now passed on. His name was Bob. He was a very good friend. And I said, holy smokes, or a derivative thereof, because I had the map at that point of Gordon Michael Scallion's, and I looked at one map, and I looked at the other, and that's when I uttered an expletive deleted. And that is when I began to pursue Lori Toy as a guest. I mean, here is a young housewife with three small children who gets a message that is so powerful that she sells her house to produce a map. Risking everything. Can you imagine that? I mean, try and imagine that in your mind. So I'm telling you, I tend to put stock in Lori's map and in Gordon's map. Having said that, here she is once again. Lori?
Hi.
That's a story of how I got your map, actually, way back when.
Yeah, you know, I think it was 1994 in April when I did your show the first time.
Right. Right. As a matter of fact, after considering and looking very carefully and comparing, I said, well, there's got to be something to this, I'm afraid. And then I picked up the phone and began to try to get hold of you, and that was first tentative program we did. I think you were scared to death to do it.
Yeah, it was. That was my first introduction to radio interviews.
That was the first one, huh? Now, not having a lead on my audience, I don't have the map sitting in front of me, and I really prefer it that way, because then I would see something, you know what it is, but they don't, so I would ask all the wrong questions.
Okay.
If you can give us a general idea of the changes, if this comes to pass, what will our country look like after the changes?
Well, the biggest change, of course, is that California, Nevada, and Utah are all underwater.
Yeah.
And Arizona is the new coastline, runs all the way up to Denver. And then parts of Idaho, southern Idaho, are the new boundary for the Pacific Ocean. There's a peninsula of land that comes out. That's where Mount Shasta is. Seattle and Tacoma and Portland are all underwater. And the new coastline in the Pacific Northwest is Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, that far east.
That far east, that far east. The biggest change in the center part of the United States is there's a huge bay that covers portions of Texas and Louisiana, parts of Arkansas are underwater. And the Mississippi and the Missouri River have significantly widened into a very large bay. Lake Michigan is gone. And all the lakes are kind of all combined into one massive inland sea almost.
Body of water, yeah.
Yes. The East Coast is very broken up. And New York is underwater. Washington, D.C. is underwater. And the tip of Florida is also underwater. So some pretty significant changes.
What about Miami, say? How much of the tip of Florida?
Well, it runs from Lake Okeechobee, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and it's sort of at an angle.
Uh-huh.
And I found out later on that that was a fault line, that that actually was a fault line.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of something sort of matched up. That was the interesting part about working on the I'm America map, is that later on we would find that there would be fault lines that would correlate with this information, like in Texas, for instance, the new coastline correlates with a fault line, something that we didn't know at the time.
No, but it sure does make eerie sense later on, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, of course, you know, working with this information now for 10 years about, and it's very interesting to draw the little correlations. And I also enjoy hearing other people's visions and the other prophecies that it seems to correlate with as well.
Was the manner of these changes shown to you? Obviously, we're talking about Earth movement of a gigantic magnitude, but did these changes occur all at once? Was it an ongoing process that took years? What do you know about timelines, if anything, or how it unfolds?
Well, you know, we always tried to nail the masters down. We wanted to know specific dates because we knew that people would be very interested in that. That's important to them. And they pretty much would always say the time is now, although in one session they did say around 1992. So I would assume that that is the time frame of when these changes are supposed to start. But again, we're talking about changes that maybe could be going on for a couple hundred years. So that's another thing that has to be considered. But I do really feel that we are seeing some of the beginning prophecies now.
What is it dependent upon? Now, I talked about social behavior and various sorts of social deterioration and problems we're having now. Is it dependent on our behavior? Is it dependent on our spiritual beliefs? What is it dependent upon?
It's really dependent on our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. Of course, it's dependent upon, you know, how we are at a spiritual level, how we treat one another, you know, that type of thing. But I feel, Art, it's also about us taking action at a certain level, too. You know, the ecological breakdown that the planet is in is a result of what, you know, we have chosen to create here through pollution and overuse of petrochemicals.
It's quite serious.
Very serious.
A large chunk of the Antarctic, I don't know if you followed that story about the Larsen B ice shelf.
Yes, I did. It's a size that it's a piece, I guess, the size of the state of Connecticut.
Yes, it is, and it's gone. And the scientists now say the entire ice shelf is unstable. Now, the Larsen ice shelf would not really add a great deal of sea level because it's already there. However, if the land-based ice shelf follows suit, the raw shelf, then we've got really, really serious problems on the coastlines. There would be very serious changes in the coastlines. No question about it.
That was one of the prophecies, too, is that there would be an overall global warming, that there'd be a warming somewhat of the whole planet in the times of changes.
Well, again, we have no way of knowing if it is cyclical or what it is, but we certainly know that we have had a very, very warm year with very disastrous results, including extremely high winds, tornadoes in places that never have tornadoes, weather that is inexplicable, beyond even what's reasonable to expect from El Nino.
Yes, and this again is part of the prophecies that they said that the seasons would get sort of out of kilter. And we'd see sort of a seesaw effect, extremes, and they said to expect even more of this as we progress throughout the changes.
People will automatically ask about safe places. Where is it safe? Is any place safe?
Safe to you physically or safe spiritually? There, it's kind of a question there, because I know the masters would always say, well,
well, I presume
safety
that
is a matter of the heart, you know, of feeling right with yourself. But in terms of the geophysical safety places, it's very interesting, because alongside all the geophysical changes that were depicted on the I'm America map and in the prophecies, they had these little yellow areas, five of them in the United States, and they referred to these as protected areas.
Protected.
Yes, protected safe areas. And as I understand it, they call these Golden City vortexes. And what they are, as I understand it, in the same way that we have an energy system that exists on our human physical body, mm-hmm. Mother Earth has an energy system. And these vortex areas are part of the energy system of Mother Earth. And during the times of changes, these five areas will be somewhat safe during the most catastrophic changes.
What rough areas are they?
Well, there is one south of Chicago. There is another one in Georgia, mm-hmm. and in portions of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. There's one in Arizona, New Mexico. Another one in Colorado. And another one in Montana and portions of Idaho.
Do you live within one?
Yes. And that was actually part of something we wanted to do, was to actually go and live in one of these vortexes, because they were so an integral part of the prophecies. We wanted to see what it would be like to live in one of these Golden City vortexes.
And what has it been like?
Well, so far so good. It's very interesting. I try to, you know, catalog as many different reports from different people who do end up moving to a Golden City vortex, because they do claim that there's a higher and a finer energy. And I would say that, yes, there is. Is there safety in these areas? I don't know. I mean, because we haven't had any, you know, real catastrophic changes, so I wouldn't be able to say, are they or are they not. But according to the prophecies, they are. And a lot of people also report having a lot of psychic and a more pronounced feeling of ESP when they're in these vortex areas.
Now, my area, southern Nevada,
yes.
In fact, generally Nevada altogether, according to about every prophet I have ever talked to, is completely dead meat. I mean, we are absolutely wiped. And I believe that many think there will be a strike from a meteor or a large astronomical body of some sort that will strike in southern Nevada. Is that so?
Yes, that was part of the prophecies of the I'm America map. It's interesting, because it is an asteroid meteor that does hit the planet that sort of escalates the worst part of these changes. And I think, as we talked before in our last interview, you're at ground zero.
So it is
prophesied that it would impact someplace in the Nevada desert.
Mm-hmm. Probably Pahrump.
I hope not.
Well, you certainly have looked at maps. You know where I am, right?
You're near Las Vegas?
About 65 miles west, near an auspiciously named place called Death Valley.
Very close. Very close.
Very close, right?
Yes.
Well, I... yeah, I know. I've been wondering about that for some time, and we talk about this on the eve of the release of a motion picture called Deep Impact. And I hate to say it, Lori, but either Hollywood has been predicting the rather immediate future, or movies have been released at the time that something seems to occur. I wonder if you've noticed that trend.
I have noticed that, and have you had a chance to see the most recent National Geographic?
No. What am I missing?
It's fabulous. They committed at least 70 pages in National Geographic to the topic of global warming. And they also have a map that's inside of that issue.
Yes.
And it is very close to the USGS map that came out, I think, in about 1992, which showed all the fault lines and the tectonic plates and volcanoes and things like that. It's most interesting.
And when you lay that out against what you see occurring in your map,
it matches. It's very interesting. You can see the fault lines. You can see, you know, the volcanoes. You can see, sort of, by putting the two together, you can kind of see what's happening.
I have an odd feeling sitting here in Southern Nevada that it's true, particularly about my area being roughly ground zero. And I've done a lot of thinking about that, Lori. Believe me, I've done a lot of thinking about that. And I don't feel compelled to leave. I feel compelled, Lori, to accept what will be. And it's not that I don't think it's going to happen, because I do. And so strangely, at the same time, I'm compelled to remain and be part of it. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well,
are you surprised?
Among, you know, many others who feel the same way. We get many calls from people who are living in California or living on the Oregon coast, and I think that they, you know, they're very kind people. They feel that maybe part of their purpose is to be where they are at for
yes.
whatever reason.
Yes.
That there's people that they need to contact or work they need to do in those areas that would be most helpful. For this time, because they always say with prophecy that the time is now, that we're in the times of changes now. So the things that we do today will create the world that we live in tomorrow. So you never know where your kindness and your service might really make a difference.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Lori. My audience will testify for me. For years and years and years, I have been talking on the air about an asteroid impact. Speculating about it, talking about it. I have even gone so far as to say I would go outside and talk it in. You know, this thing.
I remember
came
that.
I've said this on the air for years, Lori, and it's not just a coincidence. In other words, there is something inside me that understands this is going to occur and understands that I have a reason to be here.
Well, sometimes you wonder, too, if maybe... this is part of us at a genetic level too. Is there some sort of a memory that this has happened before, and so we're willing to accept it could happen again, because it is true. We've had these types of changes before. Atlantis, for instance, and I think that the work of Emmanuel Velikovsky well documented the fact that there have been massive Earth changes before that have happened.
Oh yes. So, you don't find my attitude then unusual?
No, not at all. Not at all. I meet many people who feel the same way you do.
And I'm a survivor kind of person in most ways. I mean, I stock food. I've done the basics, radios, lights, generators, that kind of thing. I've done all the basics. But if it's going to be something on the magnitude of what you believe will occur here in Nevada, then my attitude is I should be here for it.
Well, why live with fear? Why live with it when you
that
can live
too.
With joy and a sense of life and a sense of purpose? And I think that was the whole purpose behind even releasing this type of information, is so that people could see the value of what they are doing now.
Not everybody is, I think, meant to be motivated by fear and going and rushing off to a little yellow area on your map.
Right.
Some people are meant to be part of the change.
That very well could be.
All right. When we come back after the top of the hour, by the way, where can people get your map?
Well, we have a new release, which is the six map scenario. It shows the progression of the changes as how they could happen.
Yes.
And we have an 800 service for that.
All right, I'll tell you what, Lori. Hold that until we get back from the bottom of the hour. And I thank you very much. And I will simply instruct everybody to go and get a pencil and a paper. And we are going to open up the lines for Lori as well when we get back. But right now, go get a pencil and a paper. This is a map, I assure you, you're going to want to see. And when you see it, it will impress you as it did me and cause me to follow up and find Lori Toy. I sought her out and got her on the air. So listen and listen carefully. I'm Art Bell and this is Coast to Coast AM. Which one day soon may be out at sea. We'll be right back.
For Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. Send it to him at area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here again is Art.
Once again, here I am. My guest is Lori Toy. She was a housewife a decade ago. Three small children. She began having a sequence of dreams, which led eventually, through many, many sessions, to the making of a map called I Am America. This map coincides with a number of other prophets' maps, and it does not bode too well if what is in that map is going to be the future shape of America. Then it does not bode too well at all, and we'll tell you more about it as we go along. Are you making too many trips to the bathroom? That's a symptom. So is a loss of sex drive. Millions of American men suffer these symptoms, and generally they are associated with an enlarged prostate, which occurs as you get older. Dr. Michael Toplinski is a medical doctor who, in his practice, dealt specifically with this for years and years, and through the years, unlike a lot of medical doctors, thank you very much, developed a formula of all natural things. Pretty unusual for a doctor, huh? All natural things that were actually clinically proven in his practice to reduce the size of the prostate and obviously then the symptoms. But not by masking them, by actually going to work at, you know, what the problem is, which is in a large prostate. So, here's the deal. You buy a three-month supply. You begin taking the product. If, during this period of time, your symptoms are not relieved, you get your money back. So, the only thing you really have to lose are these very, very uncomfortable symptoms. The number is 1-800-472-5151. That's 1-800-472-5151. Anybody out there who hasn't heard of a company called Play Incorporated? They make Snappy. Snappy video snapshot. When I first got mine, actually, it'll be the same way for you if you don't have one yet. If you have a computer and you buy a Snappy, it's kind of fun. You plug the Snappy into the parallel port on your computer, so you don't have to take a thing apart to use it. And I was quite skeptical, as I am about all new things, But I plugged it in, and it blew me away so much that I spent the next 48 hours consumed. I repeat, consumed, in amazement by what it could do. Now, how could a device actually make a better still photograph than the video fed into it? I guess I better explain. You see, you plug this into your computer, and then you plug in like a camcorder, a television, VCR, whatever, any moving video. And then when you want a still rendition, a still photograph, you click your mouse, and boom. Whatever was on the screen at that moment is saved for you in a file, any sort of file of your choice. And you can print it out, put it up on the wall, frame it as a photograph. It's that good. Or you can save it in your computer, send it to a website. I use it for that. And so I have been consumed with love for Snappy ever since, as much as one can love an electronic device, and that's a fair amount, actually, in my case. It's $99. Now, the new Snappy Deluxe is $139.95. It is a virtual capture card. Captures video, lets you make AVI files, does everything the regular Snappy does, and so much more. If you have a regular and you want to update, call Play at 1-888-888-PLAY or visit them on the web at www.play.com. That's PLAY.com. All right, once again, here is Lori Toy. Lori?
Hi, Art.
Now, I asked people to get out their pens and paper and stuff. So tell us, if they want a map, how do they get it?
Well, 1-800-294-8901. That's the 800 service.
Give it one more time.
1-800-294-8901.
Okay.
And if they'd like to write to us...
Well, before we leave the phone number, when is that phone number good? Is it 24 hours a day?
Yes, it is. And if the line is busy, be patient. I think that there's going to be a number of operators on this evening, so they will get through.
All right. Very good. The price is $25 plus $6.25 shipping and handling, right?
Yes, for the new updated map.
All right. Very good. And then they can, what, write to you?
Yes, at Post Office Box 2511. That's in Payson, Arizona, 85547.
All right. Repeat that one more time.
P.O. Box 2511, Payson, Arizona, 85547. Or if they'd like, they can also go to our website, which is iamamerica.com.
And we've got a link up there right now.
Yes, yes. It's been working very well.
All right. There are people like this out there, and somebody has written a pretty nasty fax here, but I guess, you know, it would echo what are in some minds, so I'd like to hear you answer it.
Sure.
The fax says, this woman is a charlatan. She claims to be Starseed, but she's a scam artist. No light worker would ever charge for those maps like she is, and no light worker would say, do not reproduce without permission. So, in other words, he's taking you to task for... charging for this map. And so how do you answer that?
Well, if people want to, what we do is we have a free newsletter that people can get, and we try to give out as much free information as we possibly can. Also, if they do get on the web, the maps are downloaded there. So, in fact, anyone can print out their own copy if they just go on the web.
Well, then this person is full of it. So, in other words, you don't need to buy the map to see the map.
No, no. People buy the map because they like to have one. They want to have one in their own possession.
You're darn right. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And that's it. I mean, it's just magnetic when you see it. That part is absolutely true, and that's what caused me to seek you out in the first place. But I'm really glad that you answered that question. I wasn't sure how you were going to do it.
Well, we see ourselves as a service organization, and so we really try to keep as much information out there for people as possible. In fact, I've never raised the price on the I'm America map. It's always stayed the same price as when it came out in 1989.
All right. Here's another one I want to read you. We're going to take calls here shortly, but This, I think, is important. Art, just last night, May 7th, I attended the Art Bell Chat Club in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It was a presentation with Randolph Winters as guest speaker. During the break, Randolph and I were standing in front of both I Am America and Scallion's Map. I asked Randy specifically about the future prophecies of Billy Meyer, and he said it agreed with both maps. Randy said that he studied the Meyer map, and it is nearly identical with both Toy and Scallion, with only very minor changes. Randy also stated that he did not like speaking about these prophecies because they indicate as many as two-thirds of the world's population will be decimated. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, I indeed would. One thing that, in fact, if we do see these types of changes, I'm not real familiar with the Billy Meyer information. I did run into someone quite early on who claimed to be familiar with the information, and they said that one thing that was most interesting about the Billy Meyer information versus the I'm America map, or comparing to the I'm America map,
right,
is with the peninsula of land that has Mount Shasta. So that was one thing that was strikingly similar.
There are so many similarities between people that I consider to be genuine prophets, no matter what people like that Thatcher will say, that I think it can't be ignored. All right, a couple of general questions. Here's somebody writing from Oahu. Art, you know, I've listened to both Gordon Michael Scallion and Lori Toy, but have yet to hear either one of them mention our Hawaiian Islands. Would you mind asking what the future holds for these lovely islands?
Well, in the I'm America prophecies, there are three islands that will remain after the changes, and that's Hawaii, Maui, and Kauai. They also spoke about new land that would come up to the north of Hawaii. That's a very large continent. And on our world map, you're able to see that. But there were also some interesting prophecies about Hawaii. In the updated work, it looks as if that they will be covered with water for part of the time. But then they seem to come out of that okay, and then they are repopulated again.
The islands might come out of it okay, but anybody living on them at this point of even temporary submersion probably wouldn't come out of it okay.
I wouldn't think so, but what I'm saying is that alongside the Earth changes, there's also this sense of excitement because there's the Earth is purified after the changes, and there's almost a sense that it's a new, like a new baby, and this was the one thing that the Masters always spoke about in the prophecies, is that the Earth would be renewed after the changes.
In what manner? Can you describe in what manner?
Well, in the new six map scenario, they spoke a lot about the east coast of the United States.
Yes.
Because, see, the new coastline will extend all the way up to the Appalachian Mountains. But they said after the changes, and remember, these changes could last for a long, long time, but they said that afterwards that it would have almost a pristine beauty to it. They talked about that there would be new flora and fauna, that there would be actually new species of animals and new plants that would be on the earth,
mm-hmm.
that it would be an entirely the same place but yet a different place. Not only would we have a new geography, we would have a whole new energy on the earth. And I think that that's very, very important to understand.
There are many people who feel that today's children are not the same as those past generations, that children today seem to have a knowing or an understanding on the one hand that children have never had before, but on the other hand there seems to be a segment of them that are mindlessly violent and almost soulless.
Well, I think that children don't have the same type of hope that maybe we had when we were growing up, and they might maybe sense these imminent changes. On the other hand, in the prophecies, they talk about the new children, that there will be a type of new child that will be born on the planet, and they're very different than even we are. So it's the prophecies kind of show both sides of it.
What do you think's happening with the other group of children, these children that are killing, and when asked why they kill, many times you'll get an answer like, to see what it felt like.
I feel it's hopelessness. I think it's just a sense of total hopelessness that they live in. You know, when you're taught violence and it's, you know, complete everywhere, you know, throughout the media, and you're going to start acting that out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there are also children, you know, who are really moving beyond that quite quickly. I'm very amazed with many of the high school kids that I meet today, just how tuned in they are and how they can speak their thoughts and their feelings so eloquently. It's almost as if there are two different types of children out there. But
exactly, Lori, exactly. And believe me, I have encountered both kinds.
Yes, and, you know, it really gives me joy when I meet, you know, the other type, you know, the children who seem to be this new Manu. That's what the masters call them, the seventh Manu. In the prophecies, they spoke that a large amount of these children, the seventh Manu, would be born into South America.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting. And I think it was 3 or 4 years ago I picked up a magazine, and there was an article about the street children of Brazil. And I thought it was so interesting that here was this, these are children who live on the streets, they're parentless, and there was almost as if a plot or it actually was happening, they were exterminating these children.
They were.
And I found that to be most interesting because I was thinking, you know what it is, it's probably a lot of these children could possibly be those new children who have a sense of themselves, are born with, at the age of 7, have a sense of themselves. And I wondered at that time, could this possibly be the prophecy?
I remember that very vividly. There was a honest... to God, and I shouldn't mix his name up with this, there was an extermination going on of these street children in South America. And for all I know, it may still be going on.
I haven't seen anything of late, but then that doesn't mean that it stopped. I was really shocked when I saw what I had seen. And it was another correlation that states the fact that we're in for, you know, not only the earth changes, but big changes in who we are as people and how we interact with each other.
Lori, there are a lot of people, Christians, fundamentalist Christians, who would come at you like 100 miles an hour and say that you were tricked. If in fact you had the visions that you say you had, you were tricked by evil entities.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you weren't?
Well, I feel that God speaks to all of us. And we all, God speaks to us in the way that we understand God. And I guess this is how I feel about it. I don't think that anyone knows what is the way that God speaks to another person. I think all we can do is share our experiences and have a sense of acceptance from there.
All right. Let's take a few calls and see what people say, all right?
Okay.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
Well, where are you going to have to speak up good and loud into your phone, sir? Where are you?
I'm at Copper's Cove, Texas.
All right. You're not very loud. You're going to have to get into that phone and yell at us.
Sorry about that.
Okay, turn your radio off, sir.
Is this better?
Yes, it's better if you turn it off. Do you have a question?
Quite a few questions, actually.
Go.
You were describing the map.
Yes.
And it made me think back to a movie I saw with Kevin Costner.
Yes.
As a star, Waterworld.
Yes.
Is that basically, what the U.S. is going to look like?
Well, no, I think Lori described pretty well the way the U.S. is going to look. Did you hear her description?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Well, not too much of it, but some.
Now, if you're in California or Nevada, it would certainly look like Waterworld.
All right.
In the new updated prophecies, which is a very interesting presentation, the Masters gave us six different maps, and they show the progression of the changes, how they could happen up to the I'm America map. And it's very clear it won't be Waterworld in that respect, because I was under the impression in the movie with Kevin Costner that everything was water.
It was, yes.
But there is land. And the thing that I like about this new information is that the Masters says that the Masters say that it is sequential, that if we see more of the prophecies happening and move to the next probability, the next map.
Right.
And that's really nice, because it's a way to sort of see, are we in map number one? Are we in map number two or map number three? And you know, Art, the other thing that's interesting about the different scenarios is, you know, I meet a lot of other psychics and clairvoyants in this line of work, and
sure,
they now will point at the map and they say, well, I saw map number three, and then another one might say, well, I saw map number one. It explains the discrepancies sometimes of what people see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because there is a varying degree of land and water in all the maps.
Most prophets, Lori, seem to sort of lay it out the same way, and Gordon is also that way. He says, if the following sequence occurs, then I believe blah, blah, blah is going to occur. In other words, the second more serious sequence of events will follow.
It's a nice way to understand it, because it is it's a pretty abstract thing. I mean, when you begin to understand it all, how this could happen so suddenly when you see the I'm America map, and, you know, you've got, you know, at least eight states gone, you wonder how could that have happened. In the six-map scenario, it's really nice because you can see how the changes could happen sort of sequentially. And I think at any point along the line, they might stop. I mean, we don't know, really. But it's a nice idea to sort of have a guideline of maybe how it could happen.
Yeah, the only thing I guess we don't understand for sure is whether it is in fact going to happen as described. But your general feeling, and I probed that last hour, again for those who joined this hour, your general feeling is, you did this 10 years ago, the updates are fairly recent, but it's still roughly the same thing. We are on course for these changes.
It looks that way. I mean, the Masters, of course, would always say, we are in the times of changes now. And you never know, is that just a metaphor for personal change? Or are they talking about the geophysical Earth changes? But again, you know, when you see the weather patterns that we're having, and El Nino, of course, it does really make you wonder.
All right. Lori, hold on. My guest is Lori Toy, and we're going to bear down heavily on the phones in this next half hour. Lori Toy is a prophet. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. My guest is Lori Choi, and I am always absolutely intrigued at the reaction to prophecy. I'm really intrigued. You should see the faxes I'm getting. About 70% positive. And about 30% absolute raging anger. And there is always that reaction to prophecy. Not exactly sure why the anger comes, but it always does. Fear? Well, I guess when people get afraid, they sometimes get angry, right? I don't know. Anyway, it is remarkable to observe, and you're going to hear more of it tonight, I'm sure. Lori Choi, I consider to be the real McCoy, along with Gordon Michael Scallion and a handful of others. And when I say a handful of others, I mean a handful of others. Pretty much in the Casey tradition, frankly. The Zeit radio-controlled clock is a clock I use to make sure that I stay on time when I'm going into or coming out of a break. Now, you might get a chuckle out of that because though my clock was working perfectly a break ago or so, I was late in the break, not because of my Zeit clock, mind you, but because of a CD that decided it wasn't going to fire. So those things occur. And they used to occur because my clock would be off. Well, that never happens anymore. So the only reason that it occurs is either cockpit failure, meaning me, the pilot, or some sort of equipment malfunction. You know, stuff happens in a five-hour live talk show, stuff happens. But never anymore because I don't know what time it is. The Zeit clock is a 12-inch wall clock, 12-inch in diameter, a minute and second hand, very well defined, kind of like the old school clock, tick, tick, tick. Remember that? Sitting there watching that clock tick, each second ticking away, waiting for the period to end. Yeah, I remember that. Used to stare at that thing. It's kind of like that. I mean, a really substantial clock. And built into this clock is a radio receiver. And six times per hour, it is communicated with by Boulder, Colorado, by radio. Now, imagine this. I mean, this clock uses a single AA battery that lasts for 2 years and has a radio receiver in it that's running, listening to this a clock from Boulder, which is controlled by the cesium atomic clock. So now your clock is accurate to within 1 second in a million years. It may even be a little better than that right now. So what can I say? It's the best clock you could ever lay your money down for. It comes in two designs, either the famous German wood design, beautiful, or Italian wood frame, I should say, with a numbered dial, or the European style with temperature and humidity gauges. Both clocks can be yours. I better be careful how I say that. Either one of the clocks can be yours for $99.95, and that price includes shipping and handling. Call Bob Crane between 9 and 1 on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. and 1 o'clock in the afternoon Saturday, adjusted Pacific time, of course, or 7:30 Monday morning at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. Ask about the Zeit radio-controlled clock. When the IRS takes on a taxpayer, usually some middle-class guy or small business owner, the IRS wins 85% of the time. They win by using fear, intimidation, and the option of a long, drawn-out audit. They have resources. The taxpayers give them that, and you need them too, and I've got resources for you. Tax Resources Incorporated. Now listen, When you sign up as a member, you never again have to worry about a federal or state audit. If you get an audit notice, Tax Resources takes over everything. The phone calls, letters, and the personal appearances. In addition, members receive valuable year-round tax counseling service, but you must join now before you get that dreaded audit notice. Your Tax Resources membership is guaranteed and amazingly inexpensive. Just $395 a year, and it's tax deductible. Plus, the first 50 callers tonight receive a special $100 Art Bell discount. Call toll-free 888-82-AUDIT. That's 888-82-AUDIT. The membership department is open all night, so call right now. Tax Resources at 1-888-82-AUDIT. All right. Again, I'm just fascinated with the varying reactions that I get. Lori, welcome back.
Hi.
Now, when you speak many times, you speak before groups who are mainly know your work, have heard of you, and you are pretty widely known, and I imagine they're generally sympathetic audiences.
Well, they're always very interested in prophecy.
Sure. But when you go on a national radio program like this, even though I deal with a lot of material of this nature, you're then talking to a much wider body of people, many of whom have never even been exposed to prophecy before. And I wonder if you have ever noted yourself the reaction of anger in some of the mail you get or emails or whatever.
Oh, yes, and that kind of comes with the territory.
Yep.
I've noticed when people see an I'm America map for the first time, the reaction is either strong like or strong dislike. And there's generally no in between. It's either they like it or they hate it. And I have observed that very, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, I guess it's part of the job description.
Yeah. Here's another fact. Ed in Cincinnati. The Edgar Cayce readings say that parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio are among the safe areas. The late Chippewa shaman, Sun Bear, said that southwestern Ohio was a safe area, but to stay away from the cities. Does that resonate with you? And then he wants to know about...
Well, yes, and the I'm America map, which is the final map that shows the changes after everything has settled down. Illinois is relatively safe. Of course, you know, you're going to have some flooding of the Mississippi River. And, you know, Ohio is in good shape, and so is Indiana. But, you know, you do have the Ohio River, and you're going to have the breaking of Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the updated map, which shows the progression of the changes, it's pretty important to understand that, you know, some of these areas could have quite a bit of flooding. And just because they're safe after the fact, I think that there could still be some changes that are going to happen in the quote-unquote safe places. I'm really of the opinion that we're going to see changes everywhere.
I want to read you another fax from Tennessee. And this is just puts a kind of a stamp, Lori, on what we've been talking about with regard to the beginning of the weather changes.
Mm-hmm.
Mike from Tennessee writes, Art, a quick note on some rather strange weather. I've lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, a small town just north of Chattanooga, all my life, as my mother and grandmother have. The day before yesterday, Wednesday, May 6th, we had a severe thunderstorm watch. It's been fairly common here this spring, but suddenly it turned into a tornado warning, our warning being a local TV station. At that point, it began to hail. Art, when I say hail, I mean really hailing. It began the size of quarters, within 1 to 2 minutes, the size of golf balls, then baseballs, then mixed in with the baseballs, some stones the size of softballs. I, nor any of my elders, has ever witnessed anything like this in our generations. I have seen these stones knock birds out of the sky, knock bark off trees. My car was parked under a large oak, and it still broke my windshield, my grill, and the finish looks as though somebody took a ball-peen hammer to it.
Wow.
And that is typical of what I'm receiving weather-wise. It really is, I'm afraid, beginning to come to pass. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hello, my name is Art. I'm calling from Ketchikan, Alaska.
Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm going to be in Ketchikan, Alaska on Friday, next Friday.
Oh, Friday, okay. I didn't know if you were going to come by ship or whatever, but...
I'm going to come by plane and leave by ship.
All right. That'll be interesting. If I run into you, that'll be fine. I live 4 miles south at the homestead in a little house there. Anyway, I was just out here looking at the sky. The moon's out. I can see the water reflecting, you know, the moon reflecting in the water. I just had a question. A friend of mine said there was a vortex in this area, and I wondered if Lori had any comment on that. And we're the first town in Ketchikan. I mean, in Alaska. Ketchikan's the first town in Alaska.
So the question is, is there a vortex in Ketchikan?
Well, a friend of mine told me that just yesterday, that there's a vortex here.
Well, there are vortexes all over the planet. There are small ones, there's large ones, there are old ones, there are new ones, and they're all of varying degrees and different sizes. But these types of vortexes that we're talking about are much, much larger. They're almost 200 miles across. But there is one in Alaska. It's on the world map, and it's it crosses over from Alaska into Canada.
All right.
And so there is one in Alaska, but it's quite a bit north from Ketchikan.
And there may be smaller ones that obviously are not documented on your maps as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, in fact, in Sedona, there are a lot of vortexes there. In fact, they're well documented.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, my fax hasn't gotten through, so I'm glad I'm on the air. Yeah, I'm a spiritual teacher, and I know that these things are going to be happening that Lori's talking about. One of the things I can help people understand is how to change their attitudes and feelings and false beliefs, and so we don't have to buy into the fear and into the crisis and chaos that's coming. There are ways that we can deal with that. And so the prophecy doesn't necessarily have to be completely true, because if we change our consciousness to higher vibrations through prayer or meditation or just plain cleaning and purging our negative things that are inside our attitudes, etc., we can change the response of the prophecy. It's not really the Passover kind of a thing like the Jewish Passover, but it's that kind of a thing that higher vibrations...
Yeah, you're just saying it's not set in stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I'll tell you something. I think that we're well on the road, and...
Well, I agree with that 100%, but I'm saying is that if people really decided that they... See, it's a choice, it's a decision. If people really decided they wanted to be effective and said, what do I have to do to help this maybe be a more mild situation or less devastating, there are things that we can do.
And another thing I'd like to add is that I feel that the spiritual teachings and the prophecies are very important in how... to teach us how to cope and to deal with the changes.
And that's why
when we're in the times of changes, they're very important.
Yeah, I had a vision with a master teacher, and I have five angels that guide me constantly, because I'm teaching in a junior college, I have workshops, and speak and write internationally. And that's the kind of information I'm trying to disseminate, is the spiritual principles are absolutely necessary for the millennium that's coming.
To help us cope and deal with the times to come.
Yeah, and that the reason things are getting so chaotic at this point is we're coming to a crisis where people are going to have to say, you have to choose. You can't sit on the fence if you're going to be wanting to improve the situation. You have to say, yes, I choose to deny that there are higher forces, or choose to accept it and go with it and have trust and hope and know that it's going to work out for the best.
So I can't agree with you more.
All right.
It comes down to a very basic choice. And
fear or love.
Yeah, exactly. And I love what you've been saying, Lori, because you're right on. And I know people do need to know where to go for help, and that's the kind of thing I can offer, is how to get this information.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate the call, ma'am. Thank you. And again, I kind of marvel at my own reaction to all of this. I really marvel at it. I'm not afraid of it. I think I even believe it's inevitable, Lori. And I'm not afraid of it.
It's part of the evolutionary process.
I'm just not afraid of it. I'm not, even though I pretty firmly believe it's on the way, it's going to happen and happen where I am, I'm not even interested in picking up sticks and going away to a safe place. How do you figure?
I think you're the exception to the rule. Most people that I know who call us, they want to know where a safe place is. But that's not really our purpose. I would say we're more here to say, hey, safety begins within the heart. And you know, you're an example of that, Art. You feel safe. You're not really upset that these changes happening. Instead, you accept it, and you know, you just keep on moving on to make the world a better place.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
We get you on WKRC from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I'm right across the river in Kentucky.
Well, that'd be all right.
But I've been listening to you for about 4 months, and I really enjoy your program, Art. I think it's really informative.
Well, it's different all the time.
Well, that's true. But what you were saying before about you're amazed at the reaction.
Constant
anger.
Oh, yes.
They're angry because they're afraid. They don't want to believe this. This is not something that they want to believe.
Okay, let me lay this out for you and for everybody else at the same time. Let me see if you agree with this. If there was one person, if there was Lori Toy with her map saying, here's the vision I had, here's what I see coming, I'm a prophet, well, any pragmatic person could say, you know, fine, I just mentally blow this off. But I think that even the harshest skeptics, when they look at Lori Toy, when they look at Gordon Michael Scallion, when they look at, I'm going to say a handful of others, but enough who are saying it just about exactly the same thing, that even the harshest skeptic cannot easily dismiss it.
But they do.
Well, they get angry.
They don't want to believe it. I mean, who wants to believe that two-thirds of the world's going to be covered with water, maybe?
Well,
and I believe her totally. I know you believe in God. I know you don't have a particular religion. I'm Catholic. And Mary has been prophesying this for the last 2 or 3 years. It's in all her prophecies.
I know.
All her apparition sites. She's been saying, get ready. You have no idea what's coming.
Well, you know, of course, of the existence of the third secret
of Fatima.
Yes.
Yes. And all the popes have not read it, but our pope now, Pope John Paul, he commented that when you know that two-thirds of mankind may be wiped out, the only answer is to pray.
I would say that if I'd be willing to bet you a substantial amount of money, or anybody else, that if we did have the third secret, it would describe what Lori and Scallion
exactly.
And so many others have said. I would bet a large amount of money on that.
Exactly. The reason they say, from everything I've read and heard, the reason they haven't revealed it is the Pope says that he has a lot about communism and the takeover of communism and this third world order and all that. And for him to read that, that would just incite them to go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to do that. And I can understand that, but that's what it is. It's fear. Like, my whole family thinks I'm nuts. But I believe these prophecies. So they just look at me like, okay.
And
but
some
they
people
don't
just don't
it.
Want to be inconvenienced by the idea of change.
That, and they really, this is, I mean, you could, like my son's 17, and he has a tendency to believe it, but you've got to realize that, to a lot of people, this is hopelessness you're prophesying. I believe it. And Mary has said, the world isn't going to end. It's going to be made new.
Right.
It's going to be better than it ever was. But there's going to be a lot of people that will die. But if you're in the grace of God, you don't have to worry about that.
Maybe that's why I'm not worried. And I don't know that I'm necessarily
if you're okay with yourself and your conscience and you're a good person for the most part, what are you fearing? Because no matter what happens, God's going to be with us.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm accepting. I have accepted. It doesn't really bother me, even if it's going to happen and I'm going to be part of it.
Right.
I accept that.
All you can do is do the best you can and pray. That's all you can really do. And something I wanted Lori to comment on, in several of these later apparitions, she has said things are going to move so fast. All of a sudden, just one thing right after the other is going to happen. that we're having all this flooding. We even have it around here. We're high up.
Yes.
But
the masters call that, I wanted to let you know, they call it time compaction. They say that it's almost as if time will be compressed.
Right.
And
right.
One thing will happen, one on top of the other.
That's what she said. She said it's going to hit us boom, boom, boom. There's going to be an earthquake, a volcano will erupt. It's just going to be one thing right after the other. And she said that our country won't be destroyed from outer forces. It'll be destroyed from within with civil unrest after these things happen, because people are going to have food, and they're not going to be able to get it. And so they're going to be fighting just to maintain their life. And, I mean, that seems very plausible. People are more violent now. And I think a lot of these kids, I agree with Lori, I think they're hopeless. I think they have no hope. They think nobody cares about them, nobody loves them. And that's why there's all this violence.
Well, children are also a lot more sensitive than
adults.
Now
they are.
An awful lot of what we sense and know as children is left behind as we grow to be adults. We gain something, but we also lose something.
That's true. And, I mean, my son's 17. My oldest one's 28. But they're a lot more savvy than I ever was at 17. I was dumb at 17.
They know the truth.
They know the truth, and they'll stand up for what they believe, and they don't care what you say. If they don't agree with you, they're more than happy to tell you that. They have a lot more utzpah than we ever had.
At 17, I was a hormone on two legs.
Right, but these kids aren't all like that. They're very knowledgeable.
And they already see through the illusion of authorities.
Oh, definitely. If they think you're wrong, even though they know they're going to lose the car keys, they'll tell you, you're wrong. I don't believe that. I don't go along with that. You're wrong. And I wouldn't even try doing that.
All right. Well, listen, we've got to run. We're out of time, but I really, really appreciate your call, ma'am.
Thank you. I appreciate you and Lori and the work you're doing.
Thank you. Lori, are you good to go for another hour? Or
absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Then consider it done and stay right there. Lori Toy is my guest. And she is a prophet. If prophecy disturbs you, then you really should not listen. And it may be better that you not know. If it makes you angry, it may be better that you don't listen. If you think there may be something to it, then I would keep the dial right where you've got it. This, by the way, is Lorena McKennett, who synchronistically will go on stage 30 minutes after I finish my Dreamland show in Vancouver, British Columbia, a week from this Sunday. Pretty synchronistic, huh? We'll be back.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255 or call Art on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
The shadows of trees appear.
listening to Lorena McKennett. I'm telling you, this woman has infected the music part of my brain. As you probably know, I am sort of minus a mechanical part of the brain. Not very mechanically inclined at all, and that's an understatement. But even I was able to install the Jacobs Ultra Team Ignition System in what is now my son's Geo Metro with dents. All those years I drove that car, never so much as an untoward scratch. Brand new license from my son, and now we're encountering all sorts of stationary objects. Whole side mirror got scraped off the other day. Anyway, I drift. What it did for that Geo Metro is to give it enough power so it could go over the mountain between here and Las Vegas in fourth gear instead of third. That was a measurable, significant, mind-blowing increase in power. So I thought less gas mileage. But no, it got more. It went from about 55 to 63. Now, this is patented technology that simply optimizes the spark in each cylinder. And it really, really works. Now, it may work a little differently for you in one respect or another. To find out exactly what Ultra Team can do for you, I'm going to give you a free number. You call it during the daytime, 7 days a week, between 8 in the morning and 9 at night Central Time. Tell them what kind of car you have. They will, right there on the phone, tell you exactly what to expect from installation of Jacobs. Okay? They'll tell you. In fact, they'll guarantee it. A 30-day, money-back, unlimited mileage guarantee, less a small 10% restock fee. The number is 1-800-627-8800. Aren't you curious? That's 1-800-627-8800, and you can check them out on the web, of course, at www.jacobselectronics.com. That's www.jacobselectronics.com. Wow, listen to this. Gold at wholesale prices. Have you been watching the price of gold lately? It was at about $400 less than a year ago. It bottomed near the 280 per ounce area, now hovers around 300. Many financial experts are saying there may never be a better time to buy gold than right now, and they say that gold could easily go back to over $400 per ounce. My friends at David Hall's North American Trading believe now is the time to begin to add some gold to your portfolios. Make it easy to get started. They're doing something really crazy. They're selling you gold bullion at their exact cost. In other words, they don't make a dime on the transaction, whether you buy an ounce or 100 or more. Now, I don't know how long this offer is going to be honored. So if I were you, I'd call them at your earliest opportunity. That's 1-800-359-4255. David Hall's North American Trading, 1-800-359-4255. Tell them Art Bell said call and ask about the sale on gold. Well, all right. Lori, earlier somebody sent a nasty fax, what I call a nasty fax, and said, you're selling those maps and you're profiting and all the rest of it. And you responded by saying the map is, in fact, on your website. Where on your website is it, Lori?
Probably in the catalog area. Our webmaster has just recently sort of reformatted things, but it is on there.
Okay.
It is iamamerica.com.
All right.
Is the address again.
Oh, yes, we've got a link up, so that all the people would normally go to my site travel on your site. So you would suggest they look in the catalog area.
Yes, and I think you can click on it, and it will enlarge. I think that our webmaster also put that feature in there, depending on the type of monitor a person might have.
Excellent. Excellent. So, again, to the person who sent the second fax, you're wrong. It's there. Go look.
It is there.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Bill.
Hi, Bill. Where are you?
Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I have been listening to this program for weeks now. I've turned on to it by a friend. This whole concept about time compression and sensitivity and new prophecies. I have studied various holistic things, and now I'm hearing in seeing this thing and I want to know more. I've copied down the information. My question is the ability to perceive or sense the environment as it changes. Was this one of the key factors that worked with Lori?
I have always been what people would call a geosensitive to some extent, and I have some psychic ability as well. But I do think in respect to time compaction, my sense is what will happen, because the changes are not only the geophysical changes, there are changes that are happening to us vibrationally. And I think people will become, I think that what you've tuned into is very astute, because I think people will be tuning in during the changes and will sort of have a knowing of what will actually be happening in their area. In fact, the Masters commented on that. They said, you know, because we were quite concerned when we first came out with this information, well, that it wasn't detailed enough. And they made the comment, they said, well, you know, people in those areas will come forward and have their own individual information for each area.
Hmm. Well, it's I've always been aware, and there have been times to look for knowledge and not being able to find it. I left L.A. 6 years ago because of the stress I was under. Mm-hmm. My living experience was just getting negative, and I wanted to go home, and the Lord said, no, you have to remain here. Mm-hmm. So I came up to Salt Lake thinking it would be better, but I am seeing what I call the undertow effect. Here, what I saw 9 years ago in L.A., and then we had the riots. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to move.
I think that that's the most important thing, that you're tuned into your own inner guidance. I feel that is the most important thing. And it's interesting because I think it's map number 4, the 6th map scenario in the updated global warming map. They talk about Salt Lake City and that area, and there's a whole series of fractures that exist underneath in there, and that might be what you are indeed picking up.
Oh yeah, we're sitting on soft ground from the geotectonics. There's no granite base here in the valley at all. It's all soft ground. I've been watching in the last 4 years. I've watched the weather pattern and water levels change dramatically.
Wow.
And I've always thought, okay, it's time to move. But I'm looking forward to seeing your maps and continue the work, and Art Bell, I appreciate your energy and your activity.
Thank you, my friend, and let me confirm for my audience, and I have a very wide computer literate audience, Lori. I am sitting here right now looking at the I Am America map on your website, and you were exactly right. It is in your catalog area. Now, it does say that you should not reproduce without permission, but big deal.
People print them out all the time.
I don't have a problem with that.
If that's the only way that they're going to get the information, I would rather they get the information.
Well, in fact, you have done it. I'm sitting here looking at a very detailed map, and I noticed that I am precisely in the exact center of the missing area, the large missing area in the American Southwest.
The Bay of Harmony.
The Bay of Gone. The Bay of Gone is where I am. So, folks, if you want to see it, it's on my go to my website, www.artbell.com. Scroll down to Lori Toy's name, go to her website, go into the catalog area, and you can view not only the America map, but the newer maps that are out as well.
Yes, the world map is on there. And the 6th map scenario is on there, too. Now, I don't know if they can get a good close-up of that because our scan was smaller for that, but we're working on that. We hope to be able to have all of the maps on there so anyone can have access to them.
Well, this one is quite clear. Now, let me also say that the map that you do sell, could you describe it, not the geography of it, because they can see that, but the quality of it. I mean, it is such an incredibly well-done map that...
I appreciate that. I see my work as an artist. I, of course, have a background as a graphic artist. A lot of people don't know this, but I've designed all of the work that we do put out. I have had the help of other technical artists along the line, but we wanted this information to have a sense of beauty.
Sure.
It's a sensitive subject.
So how big is the map?
Well, the six map scenario, which is the new updated map of global warming, is a very unique poster. It's a door poster. And so it sits right on the back of your door. And it's nice because people can immediately see the progressions. So it's about 2.5 by 5.
About 2.5 by 5.
2.5 feet by 5 feet.
That's pretty good size.
It is big. It is big, but it does, it's really nice because I have mine on the back of my door, and it's sort of a wasted space in most households, so that's a nice place to utilize it.
All right, good enough.
Lynn's correcting me. It's 20 by 64.
20 inches by 64. That's a gigantic map. That's gigantic.
He's the technical guy.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hi, Art. Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Roswell. My name is Alfred. Roswell, Georgia.
Roswell, Georgia?
Yeah. I'm pretty close to the mountain, so.
Okay.
Well, anyway, my question is, I've seen a documentary on TV, it was on the Learning Channel. It was about 2 weekends ago. And in this documentary, they showed this crater in the Antarctic that was 4 miles wide and about 350 feet deep. Well, anyway, and they took a seismograph reading, and they found this peak underneath it. They're believing that this could be a volcano. Have you heard anything about this?
Boy, I haven't heard anything about that, but I do know in the prophecies that they said that we would see an activation of the Ring of Fire, but I didn't ever know the Ring of Fire went to Georgia.
Well, this isn't in Georgia. This is in the Antarctic.
Oh, in the Antarctic.
Yes.
No, I haven't heard anything about that.
You know, it was a documentary. It was, you know, they showed all the old explorers and everything else, and they showed what was going on there now, and they took an aerial view of this crater that was 4 miles wide of all this, you know, the ice that had melted away.
Volcanoes, sir, under the ice are not all that rare. As a matter of fact, there was one, it's either Nova Scotia or Newfoundland, last year, which melted so much ice that several towns were inundated and flooded. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
So what you are suggesting is not unheard of. There can be volcanic activity anywhere, and obviously if it occurs under ice, that's not a good thing for the ice. First time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, all right.
Am I in the Bay of Gone? I'm not going to worry about it, but...
You're on the new coastline.
Yeah, you are. You are. If you look at the map, you're on the new coast. So you're on the new high-priced property.
We're going to have beachfront property after all.
Something like that.
Okay, now say this really does happen, and I hoard all of this food, and I am safe in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I'm not the type that's going to kill anybody else, so they're going to come in, kill me, take my home, my food, and everything else. So what am I supposed to do? I can't live this way. I'm not going to worry about it. And what, I'm over 50. So if it happens now, oh well. What if it happens 50 years from now? I guess my kids are going to have to handle it anyway. You know, the taking necessary precautions like washing your hands when you're handling meat and things,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
Okay, that doesn't mean you go around and wash every single doorknob through your life.
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct. I mean, my attitude about it is much the same as yours. And I'm frankly fairly comfortable with it. I mean, I really believe these changes, in fact, if you press me to the wall, I'd say they're inevitable at this point. And I know Lori wouldn't say that, but I'd say that. I think they're inevitable, and I'm comfortable with it.
What time factor are we talking about in the next, you know, time on the continuum is a real iffy thing.
You bet. It's a fair question. And so, Lori, what do you say, time-wise?
Time-wise, the masters say that we are in the times of changes now.
Yeah, but what does that mean, Earth time?
Right now, that the changes are happening now. And this is another interesting point. When the the I'm America map first came out, I really thought that we would see some of these things by now. I thought we'd see some of the more substantial things, but we have not. And but who knows? I mean, because it could be in the next 10 years. We don't know. I do know that they say that we're in the changes now, that we're in the times of changes now, and I think we are. The severity of the changes, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Art?
Just fine. Where are you?
So good to get a chance to talk to you. I've been listening to you for quite a long time.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm from Miami.
Miami, okay.
Yes, my name is James.
Okay, James.
I had a question for Lori.
Yes.
Do you remember much about the first visitation or dream, per se, as when you were, when you were visited? What happened? I mean, do you remember much about it, like as far as what, besides what they were wearing, how bright it was, what it looked like?
One thing that I do remember was a sense of sort of floating and
was
viewing
that?
This thing almost as if I was above it.
Uh-huh.
That was one thing that I do remember as an impression of it. And I also remember them showing me quite a few details because of the time I was living in Idaho. They showed me first the details along what is the Columbia River. I'm sure you're not familiar with that, but
yeah.
People
excuse
live in that area
me.
Are. And then it sort of zoomed out and then showed me the overall map.
I'm sorry, Lori. I meant the actual personages.
Oh, the people?
Yeah,
The beings in white robes?
Yeah, the white robes, exactly.
Yes.
What kind of white robes? Was it brilliant? Was it what? Was it?
Extremely. What? And a sense of total love and acceptance and non-judgment.
Good. Let me read something to you and let me see what you think.
Okay.
Okay, it says, it's about the similar situation you're talking about. It starts off saying, he had a loose robe of most exquisite whiteness. It was a whiteness beyond any earthly thing I had ever seen. Nor do I believe any earthly thing can be made to appear so exceedingly white and brilliant. He was naked at the feet and legs and a little above the neck than ankles. His head and neck was also bare. I could discover that he had no other clothing on his robe as it was open, so that I could see into his bosom. Not only was his robe exceedingly white, but his whole person was glorious beyond description, and his countenance was truly like lightning. The room was exceedingly light, but not so far bright as immediately around his person.
All right, we'll hold it there. You are reading from...
What's that?
You are reading from...
I am reading from the testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith in the first part of the Book of Mormon.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's
that
what I was thinking. Because I've been listening to you for a long time, and I often associate the things with truth, because I believe, as you two do, Art, that true religion and truth and science is one day going to be brought together.
Oh, yes.
No doubt.
And oh, yes, I agree completely, and I really, really appreciate your reading that... that segment. Does that strike home at all?
Well, it does. Another thing that I do remember, one of the masters, his face was very close to mine,
mm-hmm.
and there was just such a sense of beauty about this master, almost as if angelic would be the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did feel a sense that some people later have described as when they have like a death experience. But I felt that sense of warmth, love, and acceptance.
Exactly. That's exactly what has been described in so many near-death experiences. And then there are others. I interviewed a man, a very, very interesting man. I don't know if you happen to catch or hear about the interview. His name is Matthew Alper, and I'm going to have him back on again because what he said haunts me. He said that we as mortal beings fear death as a natural thing. We fear death.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he does not believe in God. And he said that what has happened is that through the process of evolution, our brains have had to have a way to deal internally with the prospect of death. And so he has written a book called The God Part of the Brain. And its contention basically is that evolution has given us a natural a part of the brain that causes us to believe in a deity, causes us to believe in something beyond the grave, because to not believe is not tenable, and most people would not be able to remain sane without some sort of belief. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, there is truth in it. I mean, I think that we have to have something to believe in. It's very important that we have something.
You just said it. We have to have something
yes.
to believe in. And
we create through our beliefs. And our reality is somewhat determined by our beliefs.
So you can't reject what he said?
No.
All right, Lori, hold on. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Coast may be a little different. Anyway, we'll be back.
Lips, sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She's got better days aside.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
You are listening to Prophecy this morning. If prophecy angers you or unduly disturbs you, you're going to want to tune out. This program, from time to time, does deal with prophecy. And I am convinced, not by any singular prophet, but rather by an unmistakable, undeniable, for anybody who will look, similarity between what the prophets say and what I believe to be coming, that it is so. You may not be so convinced. In fact, you may be angered by it. If so, then you're better off not listening. And in some ways, it won't make any difference anyway. Here's some exciting news for anybody suffering the pain of arthritis. The New York Times has reported groundbreaking research showing that two nutrients, glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, can indeed significantly help reduce those terrible aches and pains in your joints, otherwise known as arthritis. You're supposed to have some cartilage there, which acts as a buffer between two bones. When you get older, it tends to get brittle. These nutrients tend to reinvigorate it, actually assist your body in regrowing cartilage. It goes to work on the real problem that is arthritis. And yes, I've had gazillions of messages saying it works, Art, thank you. Some that kept people up at night and they say, I'm not, I can't hear your show now. I'm sleeping. Well, that's okay. Because it's like a toothache. It's horrible, the swelling. If you've had arthritis, you know. I don't have to tell you. You should try this. It's guaranteed. You order a 90-day supply, begin taking it. If it doesn't actually affect your arthritic condition, given some time. Now, obviously, nutrients take a while to go to work, and they give you a cream that gives topical relief while you're waiting. But it is a real way to go after what's wrong. Try it. You've got nothing to lose, because if it doesn't work, you get your money back. The number is 1-800-232-5665. That's 1-800-232-5665. 232-5665. It comes, of course, from Great American Products. At last, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about UFOs. Available now on a high-powered video documentary titled UFOs 50 Years of Denial. This prize-winning work untangles the history of government contradictions and denials. You'll hear from Apollo 14 astronaut Ed Mitchell and the Pentagon's foreign technology chief, plus testimony from those who concede they were hired to purposely mislead the public. I think I've met some of those people. UFOs 50 Years of Denial was declared the best UFO documentary of 1997. Ed Mitchell calls it most compelling. I call that an understatement. It's an absolute must-see. And you can get it for only $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Just call Quick Fox Productions at 1-888-434-4UFO. That's toll-free 1-888-434-4836. Order your copy of UFOs 50 Years of Denial right now. Call 1-888-434-4UFO. Look for them, by the way, on my website under Radio Sponsors. If you're not pleased, you get your money back, but believe me, you're gonna love it. Well, all right, from Bruce, an obvious question. Bruce is in Columbus, Ohio, and he asks, Lori, why do you think you were chosen to receive these visions? Out of millions of people in the world, billions actually, why you?
I don't think that I was the only one, first. And the second thing is, I don't believe in a chosen person. I believe that a person chooses, and I chose to do something with the information.
So you think that it may well be that a lot of other people have received this information and simply not acted on it?
And didn't act on it. In fact, we hear from those people quite often. They say, well, I saw the same thing in, and then they say 1978 or 1968. But they didn't do anything with it. But that still doesn't mean that there's just a few chosen people. I don't believe in that. I think that we all have abilities, and I think that in this case, I chose to do something with the information I was given.
Good answer. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Lori Toy and Art Bell. Hi.
Yeah, this is Gary, and I'm in Omaha, and I had a couple of questions for Lori.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. First of all, you mentioned the widening of the Missouri River. Well, Omaha's right on the west side of the Missouri River. Is Omaha going to be under water?
Yes, I think there will come a time that it is, and then I think that the waters will recede. I think we're going to see time periods where it will be flooded and then it won't be flooded, but I do really see that Omaha, yes, will be flooded.
And then the other question is, I've had, I don't know, maybe four or five or six dreams, if you will, where I've gone to Antarctica, and Antarctica, when I was there, it was a real nice paradise kind of a land, and I think we know that that's not the case now.
Yes, but we suspect it once may have been, and of course, if that's true, then once again it could be.
Could, I guess, Lori, do you think that it could be that way again, or is there something to that, or what?
Well, I do know that Antarctica is, that there is land underneath there in the prophecies, and it's very, very possible. There's a lot of new lands that are coming up all over. There's lands off of South America, off of Spain, off of America itself. They call it the rising of New Atlantis, which is also an Edgar Cayce prophecy.
Well, they have found vegetation in the digestive systems of woolly mammoths that are frozen. So we know that the woolly mammoth didn't run all the way to the Antarctic to freeze itself and be evidence, false evidence of what once was there.
That's right. And I do know that one interesting prophecy, it's not Antarctica, but it's very similar, is Greenland. In the prophecies, they say that they we will find some very interesting things underneath the ice. I would imagine maybe that's going to be some lost civilizations or remnants of lost civilizations.
Now, when these dreams first came to you,
yeah.
you really must have asked yourself a few times before you decided that this is information not necessarily just for you, that many others may have received it and not acted on it. Some other prophets have, in fact, acted on it, which is what convinces me. But in the beginning, you must have asked yourself a little bit, why me?
Well, I discounted it immensely, and I was also afraid. I had little children, and they were all in diapers, and the last thing I wanted to see was that they'd be facing this type of a world. You bring new life in, and my gosh, you want them to have the best possible start. So probably that was a little bit of denial, maybe even on my part. But, you know, things happened, and it turned out, you know, that the map was produced as a result of the efforts made years later. So I guess maybe it's never too late.
Well, when you suddenly, and it would seem, I think, to the casual observer, your parents and others, sold your house, three small children, you sold your house.
Yes.
It must have been for you. Was it scary, or was it something for you that you were so driven to do that you never took a second look back or even thought about the danger you were exposing your children to?
I felt it had to happen. I felt, again, I really did it for my children. I felt, you know, we need to have a world that they can live in. And what if, again, if I had not acted and I had seen this and this did happen, I would feel sort of a sense of, not responsibility for the whole thing, but I would feel some sense of remorse that I hadn't have done something.
You'd certainly always be asking yourself.
Always.
If you were given that chance. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, ma'am.
Hey, I'm first-time caller.
All right. Where are you?
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Okay.
And I wrote this down because I'm a little bit nervous, but it's like I am in awe of the weather. I lived in Homestead, Florida for 15 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I lost everything in Hurricane Andrew.
Right.
Again, I live in Georgia, and I was listening to that man who I believe he sent a fax. And I was a part of that storm system that sent softball-sized hail to Cleveland, Tennessee.
You bet.
And I was amazed last night watching the radars, and because I keep up with it, how many times we were spared. And I kept saying, like, to my sister, but how many, like, an invisible shield was around us.
Anybody who has been watching, is a weather watcher, and has been watching what's been going on, for the past year, and who doesn't think there is a profound weather change underway, is out of their ever-loving mind.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, it's what part of Georgia, I believe they called it a vortex, is protected?
Well, the center of that vortex is in Augusta. And
it was
sort of interesting because we got with a small group of people and we did some prayer work at that center, right there on the Savannah River. And a year later, the city of Augusta put up a statue of an angel there.
Wow.
I don't think it was because they knew that we did what we did, but we thought it was sort of sweet that was put there. So if you're looking for that, that is the center. And again, these areas are about 200 miles across, so they're quite large.
But well, it's like I feel like I've been compelled to be here, almost. It's like I've been blown up here, or I'd still be living in Florida.
Well, the area, it runs almost over from Atlanta, Georgia, over to Charleston, North Carolina. And then Greenville, South Carolina, down south to Waycross, Georgia, to kind of give you an idea of the scope of that area.
And I'm also wondering, Art, if you think that you're not afraid of the future because you're so prepared.
No. No, I think that you may not prepare except spiritually for what is going to happen where I am.
Hmm.
How about that, huh?
And I have one more question. I was listening to the other night, and you had a radio that you advertised with a generator.
That's correct.
How can I get a confirmation on that phone number? Because I had to memorize it.
Well, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
1-800-522-8863.
I memorized it.
There you are.
Thanks a lot. Have
you
a good show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Now, Now, let me make something clear. I don't know when these massive changes are going to occur. But common sense ought to tell anybody out there, and all of you out there, that, you know, power is going to go out, things are going to happen, short of the gigantic earth changes, or certainly on the way to them, there are going to be many interruptions and things that are going to go wrong. If the, you know, if what's happened with the weather this year has not taught you that, then you're not educable, in my opinion. So basic preparation is something I constantly preach. I mean, food, water, light, power if you can, the basics. Do it. You know, do it based on the reality of today's weather. If you don't do it based on prophecy, it doesn't matter. People ought to be prepared. Do you agree, Lori?
Oh, yes. And I feel, you know, preparation again is at many, many different levels.
Yes.
Spiritual preparedness as well as physical preparedness. And I think if you feel the need to physically prepare, you should do it.
To me, it's just common sense. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Toy.
Hi there.
Hi, where are you?
Hi. I'm calling from California.
Okay.
My name's Teresa.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up good and loud for us.
Okay. California, I'm calling from California. This is Teresa. And I just wanted to tell Lori that I admire her for following her vision. But I have a question about the Masters. But before that, I also wanted to share, you had spoken to a caller before about how people in that region sense what you have seen in the map. And for the past 5 years or so, I've had like about dreams about water, a lot of water, about maybe sometimes like 10 times to 20 times per month. And when I found out about the map and about the West Coast being underwater, it just felt really connected to what I dreamt about, so it was very interesting to me. But as far as the Masters go, I was wondering if they had shown you what it would look like for things to change and the catastrophe not to occur in terms of how people and how we should be and how we should act.
All right. Well, let me sort of reformulate that. Were you only shown maps, Lori, or were you shown visions of the changes occurring?
I was shown the maps, and then we were given prophecies. And they talked about that there would indeed be many changes in our society. They didn't really say, like, if we did not have the changes, what it would all look like. They more or less showed the changes alongside all these other changes as well. Some that come to my mind that are sort of different. They talked about that our government would change, and they said that near each of the Golden City vortexes, that those would become sort of regional areas for government.
That would make sense.
Yes, and they said that people would change as a result of going through the changes. They talked about traveling units, and they said that they talk about the migrations primarily from California and Oregon and Washington,
mm-hmm.
That these people would kind of band together in traveling units. And I'm trying to think of some other ones, the changes in flora and fauna, but also the vibrational changes, that we ourselves would be changing.
Gordon Scallion talked of visions of massive, massive numbers of people at the beginning of these changes fleeing California toward the east, toward me.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon said that that would only be stage one of the changes, and that the people who fled into this area would be the victims of the changes that would follow on very quickly. Does that sound logical to you?
Well, it sounds very logical. I didn't get that type of detail in terms of migrations. I know that that they talked about how we would be changing. They spoke about, now this is interesting, they talked about ascension, which is, I guess, equal to rapture, equal to
mm-hmm.
what a lot of UFO people would call liftoff,
mm-hmm.
But that we would be changing ourselves and this vibrational frequency that we would actually access another dimension. And we would cross over. I know it's hard to imagine because we have physical bodies now.
Oh, Lori, not so hard to imagine.
But we would be crossing over into these other dimensions. And I think that some of the work that's being done right now with understanding that life goes on beyond this experience and the after-death experience is very important because we're supposed to begin to assimilate this whole idea that life goes on, that we are immortal, that we are eternal. And I think that's very critical.
Lori, we think we know it all. I frequently interview a very brilliant man, a theoretical physics professor at New York City University named Michio Kaku. I'm going to interview him next week because we just got this incredible story. Lori, you may have seen it in the news, that there has been an explosion 12 billion light years out that is so powerful that nothing in current physics understanding can explain it, not even the collision perhaps of two black holes, which is beyond comprehension. An explosion so large that it rivals only what we believe to have been the Big Bang.
Wow.
in ferocity. And they just now detected this 12 billion light years away. Now, this same physics professor believes strongly in 10 different dimensions. This is a man grounded in very, very hard science, and this is what he believes. And I spoke with him the other day. He's going to be on next week, and I asked him about this explosion. He said, "I'm sorry, Art. We did some calculations about the possibility of two colliding black holes, and while with a big stretch it might be possible, we don't think that it accounts for an explosion or a force as big as this. Frankly, we don't know what it is. It's going to rearrange all of our thinking." So
it sort of correlates the idea that we're going through these changes ourselves.
It sure does. Lori, I want to go through it one more time with you. Number one, folks, the map can be viewed on Lori's webpage, which is available from my webpage for free. If you want a very large rendition of the map, so you get all the details, you can order one, and they are big, and they are beautiful, and you've never seen anything like it. The price is $25 plus $6.25 shipping and handling, bringing the total to $31.25. And you can call 24 hours a day to order the map at 1-800-294-8901. That's 24 hours a day, including right now. 1-800-294-8901. Is that correct? And then I guess also people can write to you and order?
Yes, and our post office box is 2511 Payson, Arizona.
That's P-A-Y-S-O-N, Payson.
Yes, 85547, and again, that's Post Office Box 2511, Payson, Arizona, 85547.
Okay. Well, you know, as always, it has been such a pleasure having you on.
Oh, and
Lori,
thank you for having me on again. I so appreciate it.
Our relationship now has been going on for quite some years, and I've learned to have a lot of respect for you, and you can bet that you'll be back again, that is, if we're still here.
Well, I'd be glad to come back. Thank you, Art.
Take care, Lori.
You too.
Good night. All right, we will be back shortly with one more hour of Open Lines, but there it was, prophecy at its best, in my opinion. That is Lori Toy. I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are. There's more to come.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind. And I'm ready for the times to get better.
Well, one thing's for sure. The times, they are a-changing. Stay right where you are.
tell you I've been racking my brain, hoping to find a way out. I've had enough of this continual rain. Changes are coming, no doubt. It's been a
talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Saturday morning, and we're about to head into unscreened open lines. I kind of wish some people wouldn't do this, but let me read you what this man has sent me. Art, here is the evidence that Wackenhut is still at the Nevada test site. Here, in fact, is a pay stub with some pertinent info left in and some taken out to keep from identifying myself. The other pages are of a recent Wackenhut publication listing those who took continuing education courses. I circled the Nevada test site people. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I know they're still there, and I know Area 51 is still there. And here's the proof. All right, I want to talk to you one last time, and this certainly is the last time, about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is Sunday. Now, I thought that the ball game was over last night, frankly. I mean all over. But if your mother lives in a major metropolitan area, served by FedEx on Sunday, and there are apparently some, this is the first time I've ever found out about this. You know, if she lives in a city, then there is at least a good chance that you could actually get flowers delivered to her on Sunday, Mother's Day. That's amazing to me. Dexter Yard says, it is possible, though, in some metropolitan areas. Now, here's what we're going to have to do. Obviously, it's going to cost more for Sunday delivery. But what you do is call the number I'm going to give you and give them the zip code to which you would like the flowers delivered, and they'll tell you whether or not it is possible. That is an amazing thing. I had no idea that any FedEx people worked anywhere in the country on Sunday, but live and learn. So, because they don't here, of course. In fact, they don't even work Saturdays here. So here's the deal. The biggest shipment of flowers that anybody ever saw, in this large triangular box, along with a card from you to your mom with your message of love and carrying in your name at the bottom, delivered right on Mother's Day, if she's in the right area. So if you've forgotten, if you've blown it off, here's the number. And you can actually call it right now. Good luck. 1-800-562-6438. That's 1-800-562-6438. Absolutely fresh flowers, apparently, in some areas, even on Sunday. Well, now I've seen it all. You all know I've been raving about the amazing Snappy video snapshot from Play Incorporated. And many of you are already using Snappy to get incredible pictures into your PC. Well, look, I've got some great news. The scientists at Play have invented a new version of Snappy. It's called 3.0 Deluxe. It's got some breakthrough new features as well as a graphics studio full of professional software programs for painting, retouching, adding amazing special effects to your video pictures. As a matter of fact, this new Snappy gives you the same stunning still pictures from any camcorder, VCR, or TV, plus, now, the ability to capture moving video clips. It even lets you add audio greetings and narration to your video pictures. And now, you get all the software you need to make greeting cards, business presentations, calendars, school reports, even sending your pictures over the internet with a click of a single button. It is incredible. If you own a PC, you simply must have a Snappy. You can get your Snappy Deluxe today at any computer store for just $139.95. And if you already own a Snappy, call Play for upgrade details at 1-888-888-PLAY, P-L-A-Y. See Snappy for yourself and discover the company behind this amazing technology. They're on the web now at www.play.com. That's P-L-A-Y.com. This coming Thursday night, Friday morning, Michio Kaku. As a matter of fact, he sent me a note, and I'll just read you one short brief paragraph at the beginning. Art, I'll be glad to talk on your radio show this coming Thursday night, Friday morning at 2 a.m. my time. You can call me and give me the number. I'll be glad to talk about the fantastic explosion recently seen in outer space, second only to the Big Bang, as well as other topics of popular interest. In other words, movies like Deep Impact, by then you will have seen it, no doubt. Contact, Lost in Space, scientific topics, discovery of extrasolar planets, black holes, Mars, exploration, possibility of time travel, and so forth. My kind of guy. So, I am so curious about this explosion. All right, open lines directly ahead. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Good morning, Mr. Caller.
This is Robert in San Joaquin Valley, California.
Yes, sir.
Always enjoying your show. Like I always tell you when I talk to you, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, two things tonight. One thing I want to ask you, and before you say no, I'd like you to think about it, maybe beyond tonight. But
I can't do that. No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Answer is no.
All right. Well, what happened the other night? You really tickled my funny bone when you were playing that music, and then you paused when the music paused. That was so funny, I'll tell you. But, you know, I started thinking after that a tape or CDs where you, with all of the different people and all of these events, placing music to it, think about what that would do. Yeah, with all the listeners, you probably have sales of 10 million or better. It could be humorous, too.
Well, I suppose.
Something to think about.
All right.
I mean, I could see it going up for awards for the material. I could see a lot of other people becoming interested in the show because of that. I just all sorts of directions it could go.
Well, I'll give it some thought.
All right, may I ask one other thing?
One other thing.
With all this interest with the Titanic,
yes.
Thinking of the Titanic, well, the other day, May the 7th, was the day of 1915 when the German U-boat sank the Lusitania,
mm-hmm.
and 1,200 people were lost. Do you remember in the 80s where a crew went down and found the Lusitania, and the British Admiralty told them to close it up and get out of there?
I do recall, yes.
There had been talk about the Lusitania carrying ammunitions. And I was just wondering, with all of this business with the Titanic, that maybe that's a story. Maybe there's people that would want to talk about that.
Maybe so. Well, thank you. There is another way of looking at it, and I think it may be a completely valid way of looking at it, and that is that these horrible disasters, and I've given it some thought, in every literal way, this is the final resting place of the people who died with respect to the Titanic. And so, in a way, it's sacred ground. Does that make sense to you? Sacred ground, in a way? As the American native has sacred ground, it seems to me this sort of place is sacred, and so I would, with some trepidation, go exploring about. I've given that some thought. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art. I'm glad to get through. Yeah, this is Dennis. I'm calling from Phoenix Beach.
Yes, Phoenix Beach, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not mocking her. I believe every
I know.
Word of it.
Well, I don't, you know, I think that it is true. I feel that it is true. I can't sit here and tell you that I believe every word of it. I just, in my mind, I sense that it is so.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you had her on. I haven't had a chance to hear her before. I've also been frantically searching for how to get hold of her map or Gordon Michael Scallion's work or somebody. I have had a gut feeling for more than half my life, and I'm middle-aged, that all this was going to occur, and I've been frantically trying to get myself where I need to be going. But if I'm still in Phoenix, I'm far from it. I have to tell you about a dream I had. Not being able to get hold of these maps, I've heard very little, if almost nothing, as to what it's going to look like around here in Arizona as to what these maps have to say. And one night I was thinking about it. You know, I've been studying geologic maps and geologic history of the area and trying to figure out, well, if this happened and this happened, what might it look like? And anyway, I fell asleep thinking about this, and I had a dream. And I was looking at a watercolor map. Beautiful map, and something that Lori told the previous caller from Phoenix about that we'd be on the shoreline really caused what's left of my hair to stand on end. And what it was I saw Arizona, what was obviously the new coastline, southwestern coastline of the United States. And water was, the ocean was represented by blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen the map, so maybe you can verify something here.
Well, if you have a computer, it's online.
Well, no, I don't. I'm lucky to have a telephone.
I see.
Anyhow, the thing is, real quick, a description. The coastline runs from just most of the, if not all of the Mojave Desert is underwater. Coastline runs from the northwest to the southeast. Right through the middle of Phoenix, so that the south part of Phoenix, the metropolitan area, appears to be underwater. Straight line towards Tucson, just misses Tucson, so Tucson metropolitan area this seems to be intact. And then it heads off towards the east.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is, after you're giving your description, which I appreciate, sir, is I'm going to let the audience compare what's on Lori's map with what you have just described. Since you have independently had your vision, it is yet another opportunity for people to compare. And again, I say, with respect to prophecy, the reason I have come to respect it over the years is not because of any single individual, although Lori Toy and Gordon Michael Scallion, and for that matter, Daniel Brinkley and others are very, very impressive. It is rather a combination of all of these people and very carefully looking at the unnerving similarities in their prophecy, and I think that, and there are many more. And now I suppose you could suggest that they're all keying off each other, but I know in many cases that has not in fact occurred. So you can choose to ignore it, or you can choose to begin to examine the evidence for yourself. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm so glad I got through.
Me too. Where are you?
I'm Jennifer from Citrus Heights,
Citrus,
California.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you, did you hear anything more about what happened in San Francisco the other night?
Do you know what? The answer is no. Normally, and I didn't pick up the call, the phone, and call Seattle to the reporting center. But normally, Peter Davenport would have been ringing my phone off the hook, and he didn't. So I'm not exactly sure. I just know that an awful lot of people saw these objects. They stayed in the air for about 30 minutes. They certainly were not flares, and they went into the ocean. That's what all the witnesses said. Now, beyond that, I don't know a thing.
another thing I wanted to ask was, is this weather causing havoc with Ramona's asthma?
Yes.
It is mine, too. I think it's extra pollen and stuff.
Well, it's a combination of many things. With the many weather fronts coming through, here in the desert, suddenly when it's dry, it's suddenly humid. And, of course, as the fronts come through, the winds blow, and when the winds blow, the pollens are transmitted from point A to B to C to D. Who knows, probably down into Mexico by the time it's all over.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it is just so weird this year. We've even had tornadoes touch in this area.
Tornadoes, as a matter of fact, in the Bay Area recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know, it is, thank you, it is completely... beyond any record that I recall in my lifetime. I don't think there is, of course, it's very short. I haven't been around that long, weather-wise. Weather's been around a long time. I haven't. But I've never seen anything like this, have you? Really? Wildcard line? Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. Well, that's the first rule you broke. We're not allowed to put your last name on the air. So,
Joe from California.
We will start all over again. Joe from California, welcome. Glad to have you. What's on your mind?
I have a couple of questions. One of them is that your person you just had on,
Lori Toy.
And is she affiliated at all with Elizabeth Clare Prophets Group out of California?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering because she has... Saint Germain and some other ones on our website.
Well, Saint Germain is not the exclusive property of anybody, as far as I know.
That's absolutely correct, sir, yes.
So the answer is no.
Okay, and the next question I have is, are you familiar with Pandora's Box 1 and 2 and the author?
Well, I'm certainly familiar with the concept of Pandora's Box.
An interview that I saw on the web about the Denver airport. Are you familiar with
Denver?
That?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, good. Is there anything you can say or put me on to your website that would have that on there?
I actually have the sounds, the recorded sounds that were recorded just below the Denver airport main floor.
Uh-huh.
Here, listen to this. No. Maybe I don't have them ready. Stand by and we'll have those sounds for you shortly. What have you tell me, what have you heard about the Denver airport?
I was curious as to the what they published about the paintings in the Great Hall at the Denver airport.
Wait a minute, here we go. What you're actually hearing there is a million people complaining about lost luggage. Yeah, I've heard all the rumors about the Denver airport, sir, and as a matter of fact, I've got some of the paintings that are on the wall, and they are really, really strange. So there are a lot of strange things about the Denver airport. Is it true? I don't know.
Is there any way that you might be able to get a hold of the author of Pandora's Box 2 and 1 and 2 and see if she would...
If that person would like to get in contact with me, I would be more than happy to interview her. You know me, I'll do anything. I'll interview anybody. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello, Art. Let me give this radio the old Vince Foster treatment here. Oh. There it goes.
The Vince Foster treatment.
Took care of that little sucker, didn't I? That's the old Kansas conservative from the Kingdom of Sumner.
The Kingdom of Sumner.
Yes.
Okay.
In extreme south central Kansas, we south end of Sumner County borders the Oklahoma border.
You're mocking my Pahrump, aren't you?
Well, not real bad.
Kingdom of Nye.
Well, if you can have the Kingdom of Nye, why couldn't we have the Kingdom of Sumner?
Well, you can.
Okay. Just so we're fair there. Anyhow, we've... You know, I heard so much about the El Nino and the weird weather that's happening around. The strange thing is...
Let me say this, sir. Just stop you for one second. It's not just El Nino. I wonder when that is going to dawn on the public. It's not just El Nino pumped a lot of moisture in my direction, in our direction, that's for sure. But if you look at weather patterns, El Nino totally aside, because people tend to blame everything on El Nino, there are basic, profound weather changes underway right now that have nothing to do with El Nino.
Well, let me tell you about some of the strange things that have happened here. Mm-hmm. I know that you were stationed at Amarillo Air Force Base and used to like to get out in your Volkswagen and chase tornadoes.
True.
Among other things.
Yep.
I assume you were single then.
You are correct.
There you go. Hmm. Anyhow, this is the wheat capital of planet Earth. Kansas is habitually the number one wheat producer.
I've driven through your state, and it's like, it's the most incredible thing to drive through Kansas, and just for hundreds of miles, and hundreds of miles, it's nothing but highway through wheat.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, Sumner County is the number one producing wheat county in the state of Kansas, so that gives you a clue. Okay, we consider 45 bushels to the acre to be a really good crop. Last year, we didn't think we'd have a crop at all because we got a really late, hard freeze.
I remember the news stories.
We thought it was wiped out.
I remember the news stories about it. Yeah.
Yeah, would you believe a lot of the farms around here made 90 to 100 bushels per acre.
Interesting.
Non-irrigated. And the soybean crop was a record. The corn crop was a record. We had grain stacked up around the elevators like you wouldn't believe. There was simply no place to put it. So while you're hearing all these people telling you, get in on the soybean thing, you know, like that, we're setting ourselves up to have another year just like last year. I mean, it's just been beautiful weather conditions, and the wheat just looks fantastic. It's just beginning to head out here now. So it's strange that, you know, in all the years they've been planting wheat in Kansas, nobody had ever heard of 100 bushel per acre before. And a lot of people got it last year.
Well, I am not surprised.
Hey, before we get cut off, because I see we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, since you're hooked up with a rich company now, see if you can add another line, like the Heart of America line, because east of the Rockies is too doggone many people.
You know, I have been thinking about that lately. I'll go to work on that, all right?
How about between the Mississippi and the Rockies being his own?
Oh, that'd be so hard to say, though. Look, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've got to rearrange something. So many people back there. It is the bottom of the hour, so we'll pause. Stations will do what they do.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. Must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused.
Don't know where I've been so blue. Don't know what came over you. You found someone new, and don't it make my brother blue?
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nigh from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is.
I didn't mean to treat you bad.
Good morning. This, of course, is Crystal.
Didn't know just what I had.
In every way.
But honey, now I do. And don't I make
I think just about everybody in Nashville and everywhere else knows how I feel about Crystal Gayle. It's great to be here. It's a Saturday morning, and all things considered, not a bad one, really. Gee, this time next week, I'll be in Alaska. The Beijing Free Play Radio is something somebody asked about earlier in the morning. Called me up and said, what's that number for that radio? You know, the one with the crank. Well, I'm going to give it to you in a moment, so run and get a piece of paper, please. The Beijing radio does not require power from the wall, nor does it even use batteries. It carries its own power. You are its power. It's the next thing to free energy. It's not, because you've got to turn the crank. It's not hard to turn. Turn the crank for 30 seconds. Radio plays on AM, FM, and shortwave at full room volume for 30 minutes. Now, you don't need to be a truly wise person to understand that in the condition of a power failure, this is the first thing you're going to go for. Doubly so now, really, because it comes with a magnetic light made up of light-emitting diodes in an array producing a white light. This bulb, and I loosely call it a bulb because it's several LEDs, will last 100,000 hours. And frankly, I don't know a lot of things in life that will last 100,000 hours. Do you? So now you turn the crank, and you get light and radio for 30 minutes. And when it's done, if you need more, you crank for 30 seconds, and it goes for another 30 minutes, both with radio and light. I shouldn't have to sell it at all beyond describing that, and that is a precise description. The price is $149.95. Call the Sea Crane Company between 9 and 1 o'clock Pacific Time Saturday, or 7:30 a.m. Monday morning, and get one on the way. They are in low stock because of the amount of demand. The number is 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. Ask about the Beijing radio. Are you making too many trips to the bathroom? If so, you're not alone. Millions of men are suffering from enlarged prostate symptoms, such as frequent trips to the bathroom and diminished libido. I'd like to tell you about Dr. Michael Teplinsky's Super Prostate Formula for an enlarged prostate. Dr. Teplinsky is a medical doctor who developed the formula for his own patients. He's used it in his own practice for years, and the results have been astounding. It contains just about every known natural ingredient that's been clinically proven to reduce the size of the prostate and thus relieve symptoms. The Super Prostate Formula, made by Physician's Choice, can definitely help those men suffering from an enlarged prostate. Therefore, I want you to take advantage of the doctor's special offer. Buy two bottles, get a third free, a three-month supply for the price of two. Call toll-free 1-800-472-5151. You can't get it in stores. It's guaranteed to work. You get your money back. You've got nothing to lose but those uncomfortable symptoms you're experiencing from your prostate. So, call 1-800-472-5151. That's 1-800-472-5151. Buy two, get one free when you call now. Tell them Art Bell sent you. Well, okay, here's a fax from Stan, who has a good idea, and I've been thinking about this for some time. He suggests that I try and see if I can't request that Bill Gates come and be interviewed. You know what? I really think that's a good idea. I would really, really like to interview Bill Gates. I'd kind of like to find out what makes him tick. I'd kind of like to ask him his attitude about the attack that he's under right now for what I consider to be a a purely entrepreneurial effort on his part. Is just that he's like he's too good at what he's doing. And so I'd like to ask him that. Now, not all of the questions would be sweet. I have several serious questions about the operating system Windows 95.
And so I'd grill him a little bit on that, grill him a little on Windows 98, see if he really would advise the wise computer users out there to wait until the bugs have all been plucked from Windows 98 before loading it as an operating system. But wouldn't it be fun to interview Bill Gates? I've got a lot of respect for him, actually, and I think it would be a very good interview. So, I happen to know that we have enormous numbers of listeners in Microsoft. And here's what I think I would ask of you if you get a moment. Whether you are actually within Microsoft or not, wherever you are, if you know Bill Gates' email address, let's all send Bill Gates a request and see if he'll come on the program. Send him my fax number. Now, normally I would say send him my email address, but my email box is always full now, and I'm doing the best I can. He'd never get through. But send him my fax number and tell him I'd love to interview him. Let's see what happens. So anybody out there with the email address of Bill Gates, help. Just tell him I really would like to do an in-depth interview. I guess he's one of the richest guys in the world now, and he'd be interesting to interview from that point of view. And many others. So my fax number is area code 702-727-8499. Pass that on to him and tell him it would be a friendly interview with, yes, a few tough questions about his operating system. How could I not? It's been part of my life, as it has been with so many of you. But I think the larger question is, I would like his take on this attack on Microsoft. This, you're getting too successful kind of attack. I really hate that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Well, that's great. How's Ramona?
She's also fine.
Okay. I am calling from Keyfree, Fresno County.
Fresno, California. 940 on the AM dial.
They said that this area is now fourth in line for asthma.
No kidding.
Among the nation.
Well, as you know, asthma has gone up by hundreds of percent. It's really incredible.
Right. And I personally have 7 members of my family that have gotten it just this year.
I'm so sorry.
We're all on those air compressors with the nebulizer medicine.
I know them well.
It's a bother.
It's scary, actually.
Yeah, and I've been told it's only going to get worse as the year goes by.
Well, my advice would be to look into some holistic remedies. And that is not medical advice. That is simply advice that I think is very sound.
Personal advice.
You bet.
I appreciate that.
All right.
And give my best regards to Ramona.
I shall. Thank you very much. And on my international line, you are on the air. Good morning.
G'day. This is Mark and Mel Menard. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, Mark. Glad to have you.
Yeah, I had a couple of things I'd like to contribute this evening. The lady that was just talking about asthma.
Yes.
Australia, unfortunately, is the worst place in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah, we have more, especially young adults and small kids that have asthma, and it has a really, they have a really hard time with it. The other thing was I assume it was a bloke that wrote when you were doing your interview earlier this evening, wrote about, you know, if it's spiritual, you shouldn't be charging for it.
Oh, yeah.
People like that, you know, they just want to cause a bit of problems, especially because they can't handle the information.
I know. And I read it to her, and she came back with the right answer. She said, look, it's on the web. If you want to go see the map, go see it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you don't print those things up in the size and full color like she did and all the detail and everything. It doesn't come for free.
Of course not.
And there's 2 more things here. I was looking at our newspaper for Saturday, and they had some interesting vital statistics. There's a new BBC 7 series program about humans, about the facts of life, and they say it's quite a paradox how we completely change from conception to birth. But for the average person, over a full lifetime, you'll get to kiss for 2 weeks. You'll be able to name 2,000 people and call 150 of them friends, have sex with 5 different people and fall in love twice. And one here that you're the exception is talk on the phone for 2.5 years. I think you're going to blow that one away.
Oh, I have long ago. I've done that one, Ian. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. 2 weeks of kissing. The average person kisses for 2 weeks of their life. Now, that is a very, very interesting, albeit totally useless statistic. 2 weeks of kissing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Roy in Schaumburg, Illinois, near Chicago.
Okay.
Two things. Tomorrow's our hemp fest, and the Mayor Daley has denied them any electricity or to get up on the stage or anything. They can just go there and look at each other.
What precisely is a hemp fest?
Well, it's a big fest. They get together and speak out against the illegalization of it. And
probably smoke pot, huh?
Well, no, not necessarily. Just speak out against it. And
I'd be willing to wager if you're downwind from anything called a hemp fest with a large turnout, you're stoned.
Probably.
Yeah.
The other thing, have you ever heard about White Sands Desert in California? Years ago, I heard that they had found all these Egyptian things, and they discovered that it was the old sets from the Ten Commandments. And I was wondering if you ever heard anything about that.
No, that's new to me.
Because it was a big article in the Tribune or something years back, and someone had discovered, like in his biography, he wrote that they hope they didn't dig up in White Sands Desert and think that the Egyptian civilization was as far as California. And that's when they started looking, and I was wondering if they ever did anything with that, or because it was, I guess it was supposed to be the massive big set there as the people did their exodus from Egypt.
No, sir, that's a totally new one on me.
Well, if anyone out there hears or knows anything about that, love to hear about
it. You can almost depend on it, thank you. I've learned long ago to say, just because I have not heard about something certainly does not mean it is not so. Boy, did I learn that the hard way. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Mikhail in Sedona, Arizona.
Yes, Mikhail.
And I was wondering,
is that as in Gorbachev?
No, well, it's a derivation. It's actually the Hebrew version of Michael. It's pronounced Mikhail.
I see.
Okay. Now, I was wondering, I was listening to the show tonight, and a lot of people talking about asthma and sinus infection and stuff.
A couple of people talking about it.
Yeah. And then living here in Sedona, and of course, you know, we have the black helicopters riding around here all the time and stuff. And the latest rumor around town is
they have black helicopters, too. Big deal.
What?
I said I've got black helicopters, too, overhead all the time. Big deal. They're black helicopters. So what?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to someone today who has some connections here with ex-CIA agents who are all over the place, and they said that what the black helicopters are doing here is they're dropping, like, biological stuff over the area to...
Sedona?
Over Sedona, yes, to see if how it affects people's sinuses and stuff, and so they can monitor the hospitals and doctors and things like that, because it's kind of a closed area where they can confine it to this area. And I was just wondering if you've heard anything about that.
No, I have not.
Oh. Okay.
Now, is it impossible? No. Black helicopters could be dispensing sinus-irritating stuff, but I have not heard about it until now. Are your sinuses adversely affected?
Yeah, well, actually, I just moved here a while ago from, I was living in California, and I've never had sinus problems before in my life.
And you do now?
I do now.
And have you noticed that it came upon you, onset, shortly after a black helicopter zoomed over?
The times it's happened to me has been at night. I never had it before, and I was standing outside one night, and I'd been out hiking, and it was dark, and all of a sudden it was like somebody just hit me over the head with a hammer, and it started bothering me, and I didn't know what it was, and then I mentioned it to some people, and they just said, oh, yeah, everyone here has sinuses and stuff, and it seems to, 3 times it's happened to me, it's happened like real suddenly, where I was fine 1 minute, and then the next minute I was like totally congested and everything like that. So I was just wondering if you had heard anything to that effect.
Nothing. I appreciate the call, though. Now, I can imagine that makers of certain over-the-counter medicines might fly some choppers for that reason. I've always wondered about that. But the government, nah, you know, I don't think they'd mess with your sinuses. What they would do would be far more ominous. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from outside of Denver, Colorado.
Okay. Oh, near the Denver International Airport.
Yes, but we won't go there. You know, I just think it's real important relative to your earlier guest to mention that people have been asking about locations that are safe in the future and where to move, where to be.
That's right.
Physically in the third dimension. And to me, the most important thing that everyone needs to hear is to find some way to personally find peace and centeredness in yourself, whether you meditate, whether you pray, whether you go to Indian ceremonies or...
Well, have you seen Laurie's map?
I have Laurie not Kushner. Seen Laurie's map, but...
Well, an entire portion of the Southwest is missing, and I'm in the very center of it, roughly at ground zero for this giant asteroid, which is going to come zooming in and make all of this into ocean.
That's what I heard.
but see, in order to satisfy myself mentally, I am imagining that Laurie saw the map and just simply misjudged everything, and ours is actually the only area left.
But the thing is, if you feel okay about where you are,
I do.
It could be that you're simply resolved to making a transition on some level,
yeah.
Or perhaps you know that you're going to be making a business trip when that asteroid hits and you're going to be somewhere else on some level. But the point is, you have a place of peace in your heart about it.
I do.
So, you know, when someone says, well, where is there a safe place? If someone is not, and I'm not a quote Christian, I'm pretty much a little bit of everything, just a spiritual person, and I believe that if you are unsettled in your heart and living in fear, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the middle of a, quote, vortex that's supposed to be a safe area. I believe it's totally where you are in your heart.
Well, I agree with that completely. And you can imagine a million different scenarios, and I am comfortable with the fact that we are ground zero here and that I am meant to live through this. Or live to this might be a more appropriate way to put it. And I am not discomforted at the thought of being here. On the other hand, if I had a month's notice, I might run like hell. Who knows?
That remains to be seen.
It certainly does. But remember I said it, if there's a big hole where Pahrump used to be.
I'll remember.
All right. You take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Bell. It's Anne in Ontario again.
Ontario, Canada, yes.
Right. I remember you had a guest on recently who was talking about the animal attacks.
There was just recently a man killed by a horse.
Right.
You know about that.
What we've had here in Ontario this week, we had an 8-year-old girl killed by a dog, 2 dog attacks. On Thursday night, there was a cat that the police had to shoot. It went berserk.
A cat?
A cat.
They had to shoot a cat?
It trapped its owner and the owner's friend. A cat. It went crazy. They said it was possessed. It was attacking them.
You're kidding me.
I am not, Art.
Send me the newspaper article.
And,
Hey, wait. Send me the newspaper article. Okay.
And then on Friday night, during your program tonight, there was another attack from another cat, and it attacked a baby, and the owner said that they were going to have it destroyed. And I couldn't believe it, and I was wondering how Miss Giza is and how calm it is and the other cats. Are your cats okay?
Well, you know what I've noticed lately? Mm-hmm. I've noticed my cats looking at each other in kind of a cynically knowing manner.
I don't know. I just hope Giza's little Kong toy is still okay. Has she managed to chew through it yet?
Giza actually would be capable of devouring 3 cats in 1 bite.
Right. Has she broken her Kong yet?
Has she done what?
Broken her Kong toy, you know, the rubber toy that I sent you.
Oh, no, not yet.
No, not yet.
Though Giza was absolutely capable of chewing anything. And when I say anything, I mean anything. But I've got to see this story about the cat that had to be shot because it was attacking not one but two people. I suppose if a cat were truly crazed, I mean really crazed, and was intent on actually doing damage, it could do a very significant amount of damage. And you tend to laugh about that, but front and back claws intact. And the will to kill. That could be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is John in Grand Junction.
Hello, John.
How's it going?
Reasonably well, unless you consider cats killing people.
Oh, no. The reason why I called is I was wondering if you heard anything about a meteor, green meteor hitting Colorado National Monument last night about 10:30.
What?
Yeah.
No, I must say, I have not heard about that, a green meteor hitting Colorado National Monument. Where?
Well, I'm a patrol officer for a security company in town.
Yes.
And my lieutenant called and said we monitor the sheriff's department frequency. And he called and said they were dispatching a deputy out there because a witness had called in and said he saw it hit the monument and bounce.
And bounce?
Yeah.
Wow. Shades of shallow impact.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
No, I haven't seen it either. Listen, my program, unfortunately, is ending, so it'll have to end on that note, I'm afraid. Meteors rarely bounce. I guess occasionally they do. Anyway, you get the honor, so do it.
Good night, America.
How about Canada?
Oh, yeah, good night to the world.
Okay, thank you. That'll do it. And that will do it. Monday night, Tuesday morning, this coming, I will once again initiate another week of talk radio. From the high desert, good night.